Blog Talk Radio.
Sunshine in, and a hey, howdy, and hi from Bonnie. She might be able to call in a little bit later today. We're going to wait and see. She's kind of running. It's one of those running days for her. So this is Casey, and Ron is going to be on with us today. Tomorrow, we're going to have Brenda and Annabelle, and I believe Leslie is going to be our second hour person. So we're going to get going today. We're going to say, Bonnie wanted to make sure that we all said hey for her because she really does miss us. You know, she loves to be here. She absolutely does. So that's her, I shouldn't say that's her life, but it's like it's a big part of her life. So anyway, she loves all you guys and extends that to all of our callers, all of our chatters, all of our archive listeners, and welcome to the show. Ron, are you there?
I certainly am, Casey. A pleasure to hear your voice
And may I extend a big hello to every listener.
Absolutely. Glad to have you back. I know I haven't seen you much this summer either. It's like, it's been a hectic summer for me too. Bonnie's been saying after the next couple of weeks, we'll be back sort of off summer hours when school gets going again, et cetera. So it'll be more normal for some of us.
And school starts in different parts of the month or next month for different parts of the country. So it's an unusual thing because school isn't always the day or 2 days after Labor Day like it used to be
Everybody. That's true. Yeah. Yep, that is very true. Some of the places out here, there is such a variety of starting times. Some of the schools out here are starting August 12th, and some don't start till as late as the 25th or 26th. So it's like there's a vast variation just in the area that we live in. Just depends on where you're going.
There was one school here that was starting 1 or 2 years ago in late July. And
oh my!
Parents had enough with that. They said, this is crazy, July and we're starting school. So there was this big uproar and they changed that.
Wow.
Are you cutting in and out?
My goodness.
Are you hearing me or am I fading? I'm kind of
no, I can hear you really good. I was kind of reading some of the chat that said in Arizona, all the students are already back in classes and I'm like, holy moly. That's amazing.
See?
Wow.
That just shows it.
Yeah.
Early August,
yeah.
And you're back in classes.
Yeah, exactly. Like I say, used to be they started after Labor Day and got out before Memorial Day, and then, you know, there was like 3 months in the summer and everybody had, that time to vacation. Anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I remember it well.
Me too. Well, I know you'd mentioned a couple things that you wanted to talk about. Some of the history, and I can't, I'm so bad with names, Ron. It's like I had my pen and I didn't have my piece of paper and I didn't write down the name that you said, but I know you wanted to talk about somebody particularly important in astrology, and I'm just going to let you lead off with that.
Well, this subject has never been discussed on this show, and it is so interesting. It is actually as interesting as if someone would make up a script about this and make a movie out of it. But this is reality, not a fantasy script. I want everybody who's listening to write down the name Evangeline Adams. Evangeline Adams. She was a direct descendant of John Adams, president, and John Quincy Adams, president. So she was a direct descendant of two presidents of the U.S. And
wow.
She lived in New York State in the late 1800s and early 1900s and was a very famous astrologer. She did readings for the elite and famous of her day and time, as well as everybody. She was not just only for the elite. She was really quite well known in the practice of astrology. Now, what I'd like everyone to write down also beyond her name is write down Evangeline Adams and the astrology court case in New York. That's what you should put in your search engine, because that's where you're going to get the information to prove that what I'm about to say absolutely happened.
Astrology
and here we go. Evangeline Adams was practicing astrology, as I just said, in New York State. And she was in, I don't know if it was New York City, but she was in New York City at this one time, and she was checking into this one hotel. And she always had the practice of asking the owner or manager of the hotel or any hotel she would stay in, when did the hotel open its doors for the first time? She would even ask that for restaurants she would go in, and if people would know that, she would run a chart on the restaurant. Well, she ran the chart on this hotel that she was checking in on, and she went back to the manager and said, I cannot stay here. And he said, why not? And she said, because this hotel is going to burn down. It is in danger of fire, and did not stay there. And the hotel did burn down that very night to the next day. Now, she was arrested and charged with arson and being the contributor to this fire or the starter of this fire to attempt to make her prediction come true. Now, this became a very famous court case. It was a long time ago. This was in the 1890s to around 1900. She was the Casey Anthony court case of her time, and everyone was following this. She was, of course, arrested, and she had her time in court. And here's what happened. The judge on the bench said, because there was all this fighting, debating back and forth about astrology, a false science, a real science, does it work, does it not work, did she make this stuff up, did she really see something? And the judge said, we can answer this question right now. He said, I'm going to give you, Miss Adams, a person's city of birth, month, day, and year of birth, and time of birth. You will not be given a name, just the location, the date, and the time. And he said, will you, in front of all of us, be able to set up this person's chart, as you call it, and be able to talk about what you see in the chart? And she said, yes, because she had all of her books there. One of the books you use, and she used, was called A Table of Houses. That set up the ascendant and house cusps of the wheel. Another book that she had was an ephemeris, which lists the planetary placements. Another book was latitudes and longitudes, so she could find the location of the person and set the chart up for that spot on the Earth's surface. And then she had a book on time changes, because there were time changes in various parts for daylight time, etc., even back then. She set this chart up in front of the entire court as everyone watched her, and the judge said, well, when you are finished, let me know. And she let him know, and he said, begin, please, talking. She started to describe the individual from this chart, the personality and characteristics about them and preferences and interests and talents in their life. And then she said, but this person is no longer alive. This person is deceased, and this person died from drowning. And this person actually died a number of years ago. I think it was maybe, I'll make up an example, a short number, like 4 years, 3 years. And
wow.
At that point, the judge said, stop. He said, what you have been describing was the information of my son. You described his personality to a T. You described his preferences to a T. You described characteristics about him to a T, and he is dead, and he died from drowning precisely the same number of years ago that you said he would have died from drowning.
Wow.
At that time, and this is what's important to look up, everyone, so you will see this is a true story, he, as a sitting judge on the bench, declared at that moment that astrology was a factual and acceptable science, and it went down in the records of New York that it was an acceptable science, and it was, according to this judge ruling, accurate and important. Now, according to the last report that I saw, because I've been rereading and following up on what is going on in New York law since then, and not that long ago, this was still completely the law. No other judge has overturned it or interfered with it. For over 100 years in New York, it is decreed that this is an acceptable science. It was the first place in the United States that actually so decreed. And the example happened because of what this famous astrologer did in front of the entire court and what she read from the information from the chart. Now, I know many of you probably have your mouth hanging up out going, well, what? We never heard of this. How come this has never been famous? Well, it's been forgotten for a lot of time has passed. We've gone over 100 years since this incident has happened.
Wow.
But you can still research it. There will be many websites and information sites coming up describing this case and even further details in what I'm telling you. Now, Evangeline Adams lived until the 1930s and practiced till the very ending of her life. She was pretty much a practicing astrologer from the 1890s 1880s, 1890s, and all the way up to the 1930s. So she practiced for close to 50 years.
Wow.
And I believe this case that we are talking about occurred near 1900 with the trial of Evangeline Adams, either in the very late 1890s or the early 1900s, but it was around that year, the turn of the last century, that this actually happened. And
wow.
We never discussed this on this show, and this is a very interesting an important case, and it's known among most astrologers except the very newest ones who maybe have not yet heard of this or have had the advantage of looking into its research. So it was legally declared by a judge, a sitting judge on the bench, as an acceptable science because he saw its accuracy in a court of law, and he saw what she, who had no idea who she was reading, she didn't know if she was reading a chart of a man, a woman. She knew their age, of course, because of their birth date. She knew their city and time, but that didn't tell anything about whether it was a male or female. And she indeed passed the test, so to speak. She went on becoming still, she was, of course, acquitted. She went on to become free and to continue practicing astrology. In fact, because of this publicity of this case, it brought her more clients than ever after the case was finished.
So wow.
Here's an example of a woman who was a direct descendant of two U.S. presidents who had the consciousness and knowledge to be an outstanding astrologer. She has written articles and books on astrology that are just brilliant. And although they're hard to find today because we're so many decades past her death and time of life, they still could be obtained, or parts of them, I'm sure, can be obtained. So
yeah, I was going to say, I'm wondering if they would be like, if you had like a book search or, what do they call the books, like the out-of-print books, you know, you can call a special places that, you know, search for out-of-print books. Do you know any of the titles that we could look for?
Not offhand, I can't recall, because she has written so many, including articles. If you can't find a book, perhaps you could find an article, a reprint of it. What's also interesting is at her time, from the late 1800s to the early 1900s, there were many famous astrologers whose names have been forgotten today. And again, many of the newer astrologers of today don't even know these people. There was one man named Alan Leo, and I'm not kidding, that was his name, Alan Leo. And anyone can look him up on the website, on the search engine, and you will find that he has written dozens of books, and he was a very famous astrologer who traveled and gave lectures to large groups of people. Back then also was Llewellyn George, and he wrote one of the best books on astrology, A to Z, Horoscope Delineator, which has been changed by today. Two other people's names are on that book, and they've changed the original writing. But he is also the source of Llewellyn Publications, which has an edition in Minnesota. And when you buy these various calendars each year that have the zodiacal signs, it'll be Llewellyn Publications that will make that,
right,
or these little booklets. This was the direct company descended from Llewellyn George. And there's a man who's been dead for decades, and his name still appears today on astrological booklets, and you could go to bookstores and see it. You'll see the name Sidney Omar. And they'll have Sidney Omar's 2014 for Aries, and another book will be for Taurus, another one for Gemini, and they'll be coming out with the 2015 books. Well, the last time I was aware of Sidney Omar being alive was probably around 1976, 77, and he died at that time. And his name has still been carried forth into book titles. I guess his name is copyrighted or something. So, but you'll see Sidney Omar, and that's one of the astrologers that had been practicing in the first half of the last century and was a very well-known person. Casey, astrologers back then would often make up names or use pseudonames because they were afraid of the ramifications of using their real name. Now, today we don't do that anymore. We use our real names. But Alan Leo was a made-up name. Sidney Omar was a made-up name. There was astrologers back then called Sefariel, and this next one everyone will laugh at. There was an astrologer from Hawaii who called himself Moby Dick, believe it or not. And
oh, my.
Angel Star. A very well-known astrologer used the name Angel Star. And Joan Quigley is her real name. And if you can recall, or if anyone who's listening can recall, a number of years back when Ronald Reagan was president, there was some negative publicity about Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan listening to this astrologer consultant who was giving timings when Ronald Reagan should sign papers or do speeches or have, you know, gatherings of news media. And
right.
She's a very good astrologer. Her name is Joan Quigley. But she used the name Angel Star. So because people back then, even 30 years ago, were still afraid of their name being associated with it, although they were often brilliant astrologers and brilliant researchers, you see.
Right, yeah. See, that, and I look at that, and that's so amazing that there would have been that, I don't know, advanced person, say, as a judge, you know, more than 100 years ago, and then how did it fall so far, like, say, in 60 years from then, that it's like people were like, afraid of it? It's like you'd have thought that, you know, a start with rolling the stone downhill would have started it going in a forward direction. I wonder what happened.
Well, Evangeline Adams is one of the few people who used her real name as an astrologer back then and practiced in life. And it was a well-known case because of the fact that she was brought to trial for making a prediction coming true because she caused the problem by starting the hotel on fire, which, of course, she did not. Today, they would know more directly about the source of the fire or what would have caused it or would have had at least more likelihood of discovering it than they had back then. And it has said on the books and on declared from a judge on a bench that astrology is to be an accepted legal practice and science.
Nice.
And this is very interesting, and it broke the ice of everyone. And I don't think we've ever had another case anywhere in the country that was quite like this or
like
even
that.
Close to it and
yeah.
had a legal decision being made by a sitting judge on the bench.
Wow.
So, and like I said,
really
somebody
cool.
who would want to write a movie about this true event would get more interesting, fascinating twists and turns and situations than if they actually would write up a created false script about some non-existent event. This is an event that really happened.
Happened, yeah. And there was something else I've been meaning to ask you about here, too, real quick. I know, let's see, I know that it was back in July when Saturn went forward on July
uh-huh.
20th, and I cannot remember, when did Uranus go retrograde?
Well, I can tell you that right now. I've got one of those books called An Ephemeris, and I'll open it up to the planetary positions of last month and this month. Uranus went retrograde on July 22nd.
22nd, okay.
And Saturn
wow.
went direct right before that.
Right, yeah, 2 days before that. Okay, well, because we've had so many unusual energies floating around, and people have just been really, you know, going, what in the world is going on? And all I can think of, gee, is, you know, Uranus is in, you know, that double lightning bolt or the double water waves, whatever it is. You know, going retrograde is like, what does that do to us? What exactly does that do to us, Ron?
Well, Uranus is the planet that has a lot to do with the electrical conduit of our nervous system. In other words, the conduit energy of the nerves of Virgo and the planet Mercury are more directly related to the specific overall nerves, but the synaptic part of the nervous system is connected to the planet Uranus. And it is a very unusual energy. Anyway, Uranus is the only planet that is sitting on its side. It is tilted completely on its side so that where all the other planets have the equator, just like the Earth, and the poles up and down, Uranus has its poles where its equator is, tilted on its side. And instead of spinning around, it spins up and down, because it's turning on its side. It's sitting 90 degrees tilted on its side. So even that makes that planet very different. And that's the scientific way that the planet exists in our solar system. And it is the planet that does have an altering energy influence on things.
Wow.
You know, and you're ruled by it. And so are many Aquarian, not many, many, all
that's
Aquarian
what I was
people
thinking,
are
yeah.
ruled by Uranus. That's why they like to be pioneers and do different things and try new directions and be experimental in new awarenesses and think out of the box, because the very planet that they're ruled by completely breaks the rules, that doesn't adhere to the same pattern of pole and equator alignment like the rest of the solar system planets do.
Wow.
And you know, we're going to have the moon, well, today the moon's in Sagittarius. And the moon is going to be moving across the galactic center. Did you ever hear about that, Casey? Do you ever remember us discussing that? The galactic center?
Say that one again? No, I don't believe so.
Center.
The galactic you said something about it. Is that more like with the where the universe, rotates around that, and it's like, you know, every 25,940 years or 25,960 years, it's the dawning of a new age or something like that. Is that what we're talking about, that?
Well, partly.
Sort of?
Actually, what happens is, as we look at the circular belt of the zodiac surrounding us and our solar system, there's one part in that series of astrological signs that we are directly facing the inside, the interior, and the center of the Milky Way galaxy, where the greatest amount of stars, starlight, stars being born, and greatest amount of concentration of light exists. And that is the very center of the Milky Way galaxy, the galactic center. And it is in the zodiacal belt between 24 to 28 Sagittarius. It's there, 24, 25. 26 is exactly aligned with the center of the galaxy, 27 and 28. Now, about 35 to 40 years ago, an astrologer kind of clicked into this and figured this out and discovered it and said, wait a minute, there must be something special about people who have planets or a planet that is positioned in one of these degrees of Sagittarius, because that planet is facing or aligned with the very center of our Milky Way galaxy. So they began doing research, and they began collecting data of people who have planets at that point. Now, before we go on, the moon is not there yet. The moon is about 17 or 18 degrees of Sagittarius right now. But later on today and during the night, it will be crossing over the galactic center in its monthly movement through all the signs of the zodiac. So the moon is a journeyer right about that point soon here now. Well, what the discoverer started amassing data found was this. People who had planets aligned with the galactic center were often people that handled great power, or who became very powerful, or who had kind of thrust upon them heavy responsibilities of power, and they handled it very well. There seems to be a power alignment energy with those degrees of Sagittarius, because there is the greatest amount of light, starlight. There's so many stars in the field of view of the looking towards the center of the Milky Way galaxy that it becomes just one combined white light. And the direct center, there is supposedly a black hole in the middle of every galaxy, including ours. Scientists now believe that. They don't laugh at that and don't look at it skeptically. But there's so many stars and starlight between us and the center, we can't see the black hole. We can only creatively calculate it being there. And where we are with our sun, we're right about the middle of the Milky Way galaxy. We're not way out at one of the ends of it where, you know, you're on the edge of space. And we're not way out near the middle of it, which would be awful because there would be so many stars being born and created. It would be, the intensity could not even support life like we know it towards the middle of the galaxy. But where we are is right in the middle. So when we are looking at the sign of Sagittarius, and you could talk to a scientist about this too, you can say, isn't the galactic center in the constellation of Sagittarius? And they'll say yes. Or as we look at the constellation of Sagittarius, are we not looking at the middle of the Milky Way galaxy? And they'll say yes, because that's actively known among all scientists who are astronomers, should I say, not all scientists. And the degrees that actually happen that manifest this centering is that period of 24 to 28 Sagittarius. We're looking from the beginning of looking towards the center of the galaxy at 24, right to the middle and looking directly to the center at 26, and then to 28 on the other side, we're also looking to that parameter. And we're looking at total white, bright light in that direction.
Wow.
In other words, as we look from space, from the Earth, if any planetary body sits between 24 to 28 Sagittarius, on the other side of it is the middle of the Milky Way galaxy. We're looking straight into the core of our own place of where we are, our own galaxy.
So wow.
That amount of starlight does give forth power.
Nice. All right. That is amazing. That is really amazing. Of course,
you
Ron,
know, people practice astrology for centuries,
Casey. You are.
Well, thank you, but you know, they practice astrology for centuries, and no one caught this on until about 35 to 40 years ago. If you were doing astrology practice or studying it or teaching it 50 years ago, no one would know what the galactic center was. No one had really figured it out that it was actually in the sign, or you could say constellation if you want, of Sagittarius. And it is, and it is very interesting that one part of it. So I don't want Sagittarius people to get egotistical and say, oh, we've got the galactic center. You may actually have a point in Sagittarius like where the moon is now, 17 degrees, 18 degrees, and it's not facing the galactic center, not quite yet. It's getting close to starting, or it might be at 2 or 3 Sagittarius. It may be at one part of the sign that's not even facing the middle of the galaxy.
Nice. All righty. Well, we got somebody here who's, I'm not sure exactly what happened last week. I heard tales, but it's like we've got Melissa here with us. And let me bring her on so you guys can chat a little bit today. Melissa, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I am.
All righty.
Hi, Melissa.
Can everybody hear
Hi,
each
Ron.
Other today?
Yes, we
well,
can.
Well, I'm talking to two Aquarians right now.
Yeah, go Aquarius. I know, I love your theme song, by the way. My ego just goes every time I come in. It's awesome.
Isn't that a wonderful song?
What's your
better
Melissa?
Song to represent the energy of astrology? I just love it.
I know, me too. What was, I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Yeah, I said, what's your birth date? Are you in February?
I am. I'm the day after Valentine's Day.
The 15th. Okay, I'm the 7th. Cool.
Awesome. Yeah, my sister is the 8th. We have 7 days. Seven days between us.
So your sister is a 4 of spades, queen of diamonds, and you're a 10 of diamonds, 3 of clubs. 10 of diamonds, I know, is called the blessed card, so
maybe we can talk more about that later.
Awesome, yeah. You've got
oh, that's interesting. 10 of diamonds, that's a beautiful card.
Yes, yeah, it is. And it's called the blessed card. It's, you know, people who have that as their card usually have very, I'll say, they have more than the average amount of blessings thrown in their path if they know how to answer the door, answer the knock to the door of opportunity, that you know, the answer the door when opportunity knocks. There we go. Talking
right.
Backwards.
That does. That makes sense. I have in this life I have lived more than one. And you know, actually lived so many different things that it's like, how could one person actually go through this and still be standing here going, hey, life is great, you know? That
right.
makes all the sense in the world.
Well,
I know Melissa
last week,
is a,
Melissa.
A fan of astrology, Ron, and it's like, I know you guys were having some good discussions last week, and it's like, I don't know how garbled they were, so I'm thinking, you know, Bonnie, I don't know if she was going to have you do her chart, or if you guys were just going to visit a little bit, or, you know, I'm just kind of open and free for them here, so.
Well, I didn't have the chart set up last week, but Melissa, if you remember, you and I had a pretty good conversation going when poor Bonnie kept being cut off and getting back on the line and cut off. And in the time we stayed on the line, didn't we, until they cut me off. I kind of lost you in the middle of a word, and they cut me off, and I couldn't get back on. So, but we did carry the show, didn't we, for that time?
We did, and it was awesome. I do birth charts myself. I'm nowhere near where Ron is at, and I'm hoping he can help me with that at some point. And I have to thank you, Ron, for discussing that astrologer at the beginning, because I'm getting into investigations, and somebody came up to me and said, "Wouldn't it be cool if you could draw a chart for the building?" And I thought, "Can you do that?
Yes.
Is that possible?" And then I come in here and you start talking about that. And I go, "Oh, okay, I guess I can do that."
She got the manager of that hotel and said, "When did this hotel open?" And she drew a chart up for its opening day, and she saw a terrible aspect from Mars going on that very day in that chart, a very rugged and brutal aspect from the planet Mars. Mm. And she knew from that and her knowledge of astrology that that place was going to be in flames, and it happened. It happened according to what she saw in the chart.
Wow.
Well, Melissa, I've got your chart set up, the real thing this time, not just
looking at it. Yay! I did send it in, yes. And I don't read my own birth chart because, you know, I mean, it's difficult to do that. So I've never had one done, and I'm super excited.
Well, you were born with the moon about an hour and 15 minutes before it entered Aquarius. In other words, an hour and 15 minutes approximately after your birth, the moon was in Aquarius at that point. But at the time of your birth, it was at the last degree of Capricorn, 29 degrees. However, you have three placements in Aquarius. You've got Mars, Mercury, and the Sun, all in Aquarius. In fact, you have more in Aquarius than any other particular placement. At the time of your birth, you have Cancer rising, and what's very interesting, it's the exact same degree of Cancer, 21 degrees, where my Sun is at in Cancer and where Bonnie's Sun is at in Cancer.
Ooh.
Because on the 14th of July, from year to year, the Sun will be around the 21st degree of Cancer every year at that point, and that's what is the degree of your rising sign. So, let's talk about your chart. Obviously, with all of those Aquarius placements, that's going to be the dominating theme of the chart, because it's the chart of progressive thinking, looking ahead, especially with Mercury, the planet of the mind and thinking and mindset and mind awareness level in Aquarius. You've got that futuristic, exploring, finding out new things, finding out new facts, creating new directions, creating new things type of mind. But you also have that Cancer rising, which means you're interested in the origin of where something came from. You're interested also in research in the past, because that's the sign that is the most orientated towards the past and past directives and past insights. So you've got the Aquarius for the future and the Cancer rising for the past, and you're able to create new directions by going and finding the original source of where some of those directions started and or some original patterns from where they came from, how they've evolved, and how they can be projecting into the future ahead. You've got Venus very highly elevated near the top of your chart in Aries, and that's in your career house. What's very interesting is you've got Aries on the beginning of your career house, and Venus sitting in Aries is the only planet in the career house, so there's a lot of Aries energy up in that part of your chart. And Aries is ruled by Mars. And where does Mars fall? It falls in Aquarius. So what happens is you've got that fiery thrusting ahead to break through barriers and break through veneers and break through, or not break is kind of a strong word, to move through any type of barrier or restriction that is obviously trying to be thrown to someone, because Aries is full speed ahead, like an engine moving with directive energy. Yet Venus is a very feminine, soft, artistic, even harmonically spiritual planet. And with Venus in your career house, you could powerfully develop talents with looking at people's auras, people's color fields around them, auric energies or emanating energies around their chakras or centers, mm-hmm. And or because Venus is related to color and sensing of color and color vibration. It's also the planet of restoring things back to balance. That's why it's associated with the sign of Libra, the scales of balance. And
right.
You've got great power and talent in your chart to deal in a counseling way with someone who is way off balance in their what's going on in their life, in their career and life, in their health and their self. You have great ability through words and through counseling and through energy and through aid work to help them come to harmonic balance, to come to a restored sense of equilibrium within their self, the sense of balanced harmony with Venus up in the 10th house. You also have a great ability to help women become pioneering. Venus is
yeah.
a feminine planetary energy along with the moon, and you've got Venus very high. That is the planet that rules and represents the mature, independent female, the woman who is past her teens and into her period of the feminine, mature part of her life when she's assured of herself. And with Venus up there in an Aries yet, you've got the ability to help women not only break through glass ceilings, but to realize the power that they have and can be. And with Cancer rising, there's the connection to the other side of the feminine, because that's the ruled by the moon. And Cancer can connect you with the sacred feminine, with the goddess energy, and
mm-hmm.
with the divine feminine. So you've got great power to help females, but you also have great power to work with the powerful, essential, creative force of the feminine, which is equal in all ways to the masculine. In other words, the feminine goddess or feminine sacred feminine energy. And through knowledge and help of entities, beings who work with the sacred feminine and the feminine power, you can also help women. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be exclusively directed only towards females, but you have a great transformationary power for them. Because after all, you are an Aquarius, and you've got three placements there, and the ruler of your career house, Mars, falls in Aquarius, and that says break barriers, break boundaries, let go of what has held you back. Break the chains and break the ties and break the tethers that's keeping you down, holding you back, keeping your self-esteem from blooming to the full value of what it can be, and become who you really are, pure, independent, and harmonically balanced within yourself and what you're capable of doing. You can also bring out artistic and creative talents within people by having Venus in your 10th house, because it is, after all, a planet associated with the arts and any form of
yes.
art, whether it's music. By the way, Venus rules music. Venus
yes.
rules painting, sculpting. It rules art in any of its directed form. And you have a real strong connected vibration with art in any of those areas, or maybe just one of those areas more powerfully than others. You see, Venus also rules Taurus, not just Libra, and in Taurus,
mm-hmm.
it's associated with the ears. So that's where it's connected with music,
yes.
hearing music, the tones, the songs, even through, it rules the throat and the ears, Taurus, and that's also singing. So music, where it comes to be singing or heard or produced or created, or worked with, that's also associated with Venus. And in Aries, pioneering, breakthrough, futuristic, new wave type of music, because it's a very Aries vibration, Mars-type energy. You were born also with Jupiter in Taurus, which is going to really help you, because in your birth chart, Melissa, you've got Saturn sitting by itself in Leo in your house of money. And normally, most astrologers would just look at that and say, uh-oh, that's a problem with money. That means working hard. That means going through periods and even long periods of really challenges financially and blocks and, roadblocks, hindrances, hurdles. But then I notice you've got Jupiter in Taurus somewhere else in the chart. That is going to be the way out. People with Jupiter in Taurus will be blessed as their life goes on with acquiring greater and greater wealth or greater and greater financial stability or greater and greater financial abundance. And that's another thing with Saturn. Saturn can produce restrictions on the finance when one is younger, but it tends through hard work and applied effort to show creative industriousness and acquiring money. So your chart gets better and better financially as time goes on. And even the fact that you've got a retrograde Saturn will show that things will get better and better with time going on. And now, you've got Uranus sitting right on the cusp of your house of children, and it's also the house of pets. And you've got the planet Neptune sitting in that house. Well, Uranus is your ruler because it's the planet associated with Aquarius, and it falls in Scorpio. And the beginning of the fifth house, the house of children, is 11 degrees Scorpio, and Uranus is at 11 degrees 47 minutes Scorpio. So it's right on that cusp or beginning line. You could bring children in the world who can be incredibly breakthrough types of children, who could be futurists, who could be inventors, who could think completely differently than their peers and people around them. You also can have pets or animals, because the same house rules pets, that can be so intelligent, so incredibly different than most other animals of their genre, that you can end up having animals that could almost, you see them in action. It's just very hard for you to explain to other people their level
they're
of
like
intelligence
people, yeah,
and their connection with you.
Yeah.
But Neptune is in this house, and that also rules the psychic faculties of the human being. And so you can not only give birth to children who could be pioneering, they could be psychic too and pick up on the
all
images
three of
things
yeah.
that are coming up. And then from what they see intuitively, they could manifest it and create it literally, physically, because Neptune gives the power to get the gut level energy, the vision in the meditation, the psychic dream, or just the all-knowing hunch. And then Uranus says, bring it into reality and focus it in for all of humanity to benefit from, because it's a humanitarian planet.
Right.
And Aquarius is a very humanitarian sign. Now, you've got a lot of planets in your marriage house more than anything else. That's where that 29-degree Capricorn moon sits. That's where Mars at 4.59 Aquarius sits. And that's where Mercury at 7 degrees 5 minutes Aquarius sits. So this is a very interesting house because, number one, in a female's chart, when the moon, no matter what sign it's in, sits in her marriage house, it means that any man in her life, her husband or men that she's dating or engaged to or living together with, boyfriend, will tend to have karmic issues in this life with their mother, and that they have come into this lifetime to work off karmic things with their mother because the moon rules the mother. Now, it could go either way. It could be a smother mother who won't let them go, that keeps them tied to her apron string. Or it could be friction with the mother, where the mother just they and their mother have butted heads throughout life.
Yes.
Or it could be a variety of various other energies. But if you go back and think of every male that you've ever dated or had as a boyfriend or a relationship with, you will see that there was something different between them and their mother than perhaps for the vast majority of males and their mothers in the world, because the moon sits in the seventh house, and it says karma is being worked off between that person and their mother. And it's at 29 degrees, and that means this is kind of a last-ditch life for them to work this off. They've either not worked it off for a number of lifetimes, or they've skirted the issues, and now it has to be done. It's like, you know, right at the ending of the sign. It's at the final point of the sign, Capricorn
right.
now. But in that house is intelligent Mercury and straightforward Mars. So in all honesty, let's go beyond this mother issue. You can be drawn to men and marry someone who could be highly intelligent, have a very, very advanced IQ, and often have Aquarius is an air sign, and you've got four placements in air, and the average human being has two or three in each of the categories of fire, earth, air, and water. And in the case of fire, earth, and water, you have average amounts of placements. But in the air signs, you've got four planets. You've got Pluto in Libra, Mars in Aquarius, Mercury in Aquarius, and the Sun in Aquarius. And those are all air signs. And two out of those four are in your marriage house, and one of them is Mercury, the planet of the mind and intelligence anyway. So this indicates being drawn to men who are smart, who have great abilities to communicate with you, great dialogues, great words, great sharing of ideas and words, and in reality, marrying someone who's very, very smart.
Yeah.
Now, Mars is impulsive, though, and that's the third thing here, and we haven't talked about that yet. One of the lessons that a partner would have to work through and get over is the tendency to jump first and think later. Jump to the point of impulse and then later on say, well, maybe I didn't think that went out well enough.
Yeah.
Should have thought first. And that's the problem when Mars is there, because Mars is kind of Speedy Gonzales. It's hurry up, fast, quick, do it, get it done, move on.
Go.
the impulsive energy is there. And it's kind of interesting being an Aquarius. Excuse me, you are an Aquarius. I was talking about a partner. I don't know what partner sign would be.
He's a Libra.
You are an
highly
Aquarius.
Intelligent Libra.
A Libra, and there's
He's
an air
a Libra.
Sign. You're an Aquarius with Mars also in Aquarius, even though you're in opposite ends of the sign. Your Sun is about 3 degrees away from Pisces, and Mars is only 4 to 5 degrees from the beginning of Aquarius. And yet you've got them in the same sign. And that's very interesting because people who have Mars in the same sign as their Sun are capable of even going to greater heights in achieving things because it pumps an unlimited amount of energy. And so you could combine the qualities of something very spiritual and something very avant-garde. You can combine the combinations of something very highly mystical, metaphysical, and intuitive and something very, very brusque and brazen and futuristic in life because of that Mars sitting in the same sign as your Sun. You also have Mars conjunct Mercury, Mars at 4 to 5 Aquarius and Mercury at 7, and that gives a fast, sharp mind. Man, you could just zip, get an answer, get an idea. It's like a lightning bolt in your head.
Yeah.
People with Mars conjunct Mercury. But when you get mad, whoo!
Yeah.
Because Mars can be Mr. Fiery and Mr. Aggressive, and it's sitting near Mercury, the planet of words and communication. But that's part of the energy of Mars. It just works like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Pluto is in your fourth house, which is interesting, because that often shows, not 100% guaranteed, but often shows passings away of family members when you were younger and or passing away of friends or people you know, because many times when Pluto is in the fourth house, which is the beginning years of a person's life, and I usually look at that from birth to age 18, and then I look at that house as representing residential moves or where they live or home land sales or purchases. So after age 18, it's more connected to homes and living situations. But in the course of the first 18 years, Pluto sometimes will show passing away of family members, relatives, or being exposed many times to more passings away than, let's say, an average person who would live those first 18 years, because Pluto can represent that. It also means, and I'm not trying to make you feel frightened by this, but you should be aware of it, Pluto in the fourth house can mean that you could live in places where there are hauntings or earthbound spirits. They could be from previous people. They could be family members coming back. They could be from the very soil that the building was built on, you see. You have great power to work with and free spirits up who are earthbound.
Yeah.
You've got great power to help entities that are trapped in certain planes of existences inside buildings or inside locations, and to help them move on or move up and move out and move away, because Pluto is in your fourth house, and that gives you great healing and directive power to do that. And that could be a futuristic ability that could be coming to the surface.
It's something that I already do, actually,
You know what's also interesting is you could develop songs, tones, and audio patterns of sound energy that could be implemented and put together to have a kinetic effect on earthbound entities and spirits to either stir them forth to communication or stir them forth to be aware of the situation they are in and help them become free, or as the first step to freeing them. And that may still yet come in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You could work so much with music, and music and tones in various ways. Music and tones to balance the chakras. Music and tones to balance the aura. Music and tones to be the triggering energy to help earthbound spirits break out of that location of earthboundness. You have a particular connection with sound and music by having Venus so high in your chart. And you have Venus opposite Pluto. So that opposition from Aries-Venus to Pluto in Libra could be very much connected to helping energies move on. But you know what else? This is going to sound even more outlandish, but it is within the framework of your chart. In the course of your life, not only could you do what I've just said, but you could actually be a pioneer in developing tones and tonal patterns that could, how can I say this, trigger connection between the physical plane of people who are incarnate and people who have left the physical plane. And in other words, tonal patterns that can break through the veneers that separate us from the people who have passed on to the next plane of existence, and interconnect between them, make the interconnection like a pipeline by producing tonal patterns that could be the conduit to break down is the wrong word, to create a pipeline connection between people, so to speak, alive now and people that are alive in the next level of existence.
Right. Now, would that be the same thing as the people that are alive in the next level of existence connecting with those that are living using music? Because music is a big part of my readings. I get songs all the time.
Yes, it can be just the exact thing, too. People from another plane of existence beyond us and the physical here can produce tonal patterns, and you would be the one who would receive them or be a connector to be the pipeline to get them for people who are alive. It can go both ways. And that's also the fact that Pluto is in Libra, the sign of balance. It could go one direction, Libra, or the other direction, Libra.
Two interesting
ways. Good old Jupiter is going to be entering your house of money within a very short period of time.
Oh, thank goodness.
Stay there for 1 year.
Thank goodness. That would be in 2015, right, please?
No, it's in September, and it stays till 2015.
All right, that works for me.
Jupiter enters your house of money on the 6th of September, so we're talking like a month from now, and it stays in that house continuously, nonstop, until almost the same date, ironically. In fact, it's one day off, the 5th of September, 2015. So it will enter the 6th of September this year, and it will stay until the 5th of September next year, one day short of one solid year. It'll be in your financial house, and all I can tell you is just wait and watch the amount of financial opportunities, growth, expansion that will come your way, and that you will be able to not only make more money, but have more varieties of ways of making money, and opportunities will come to you that you may not necessarily be directly working on or dealing with that will be sources either immediately or eventually of income in the next year, because Jupiter only spends 1 year out of 12 years in a person's financial house, and it's getting into that for you here in 1 month.
Awesome.
So that's very important. And if you've had any issues with overdoing things, overeating, overspending, overworking, over this, over that, or even if you've had issues with putting on weight, that's going to stop now because Jupiter has been going through your first house for a while. And the first house deals with your physical body and your physical self. And Jupiter does have a tendency for overdoing or excessiveness when it goes through people's first houses. But once it goes into the next door house, number two, money, investments, financial directives, it stops all of that and it turns its energy towards bringing in income. Also from September to September, investments you make anything she would purchase from real estate to stocks, bonds, precious metals, anything that you would purchase to make a profit from, you will make a profit from. If it's not immediate, it will be, you know, in the future. But whatever you buy in that year's time, you will end up at the time of selling it being very happy with the profit you would make. Because even Jupiter's effect says if you buy something during the time that Jupiter's transiting through your house of money, it will end up being a financial rewarder for you, even if you hold on to it for 15 or 20 years. It still will bring you money. It still will bring you profit.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is in your house of children now, and it's been there for a little time. And so this means if children in your life have either made some major changes in work or in
yes.
attitudes about work
yeah.
or changes into seriousness about what they are going to do. And
mm-hmm.
if you do have any child that is studying in a certain way to do something and then change their mind and say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to actually do this other thing. They could make shifts in their awareness about what they want to do with Saturn going through their house.
Yeah,
however,
they have.
Your children have not had an easy time of it recently with Saturn there.
They're transitioning from childhood to adulthood. So yeah, my middle son, who's about to turn 18, has had a lot of too many opportunities and not really sure what he wants, I guess.
Well, see, that's what Saturn is doing. Saturn represents the aging process, the maturing process. Our work, our maturity, and our ability to have a career and function in that role. And so it's going through your house of children now, and that's what's causing all of this maturing and this transition and this career directiveness. Actually, this is a good thing because we don't need to look at Saturn as always being bad. Unfortunately, most astrologers, just you mentioned Saturn, and they'll say, oh, that awful thing.
Boring, yeah.
Yes. It actually is related to our work, our job ethic, our work instinct, and it is very much connected to our industriousness. So it is moving through your house of children, but when it first gets there, and it's pretty new in this house, it hasn't been there long, it tends to be at first a seemingly unpleasant experience, and then the longer it stays, the more it makes things become more adjusted and comfortable.
That makes sense. My
questions?
Oldest is autistic. My oldest is autistic, and there's a lot of things that he wants to do that we have to kind of work harder to figure out if he can do, and that has been a difficult transition for him.
I got to tell you something. He's working more on a psychic plane than we ever realized, although not all
yes.
autistic children do.
He is
one that does. He is working more on a plane of intuitive, psychic, spiritual, mystical, whatever word you want to say, energy, and that is his focus of awareness and existence. That's Neptune in your house of children.
Yeah.
It's giving him that other way of being in life. There are ways with Neptune in which you could be a functional psychic, a psychic reader, a medium, or an intuitive, and then there are ways with Neptune in which you are in a different field of consciousness than many of the other people in the world, and yet you're still functioning, and you're functioning with this alternative energy because Neptune rules things like that.
Right, right. Well,
but your Neptune is in the sign of Sagittarius, which is good. Okay, go ahead. I was going to see if you have questions.
No, I don't have any questions. I just want to say that was truly awesome, and I laughed the whole time. Venus in the career house and music, when you mentioned music, I'm married to a band, and...
Oh.
My husband's
wow.
in a band, and the band started 20 years ago and then broke up, and it was 15 years of pick up your drums, pick up your guitars, guys, please play music, everybody will love it, and then when they finally did, as it turned out, everybody loved it, and it's not spiritual music, but there's so many different things that we're finding coming up in the music, like synchronicities, you know, a song about somebody who's gone completely crazy, written by somebody who didn't know the person that was formerly in the band that went completely crazy and things like that. So
huh.
it's, and they do, all of the music for my shows and everything. So that and the counseling and especially, you know, with women. I mean, that's what I do, basically. I teach people how to be awesome. That's my job. So it's really awesome to know that I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to do.
And you know what else, Melissa? You are going to be breaking through in the sonic energy sound patterns in the future, and this is one of your big thrusts ahead in the future of your life. Sonic energies from people who are out of the physical plane, who are making a pipeline to people in the physical, or the other way around, sonic patterns from us here to those who are earthbound and not here. Also, you're going to be working with sounds, sonic patterns, songs, and things, working with the aura and the energy field around and the chakric centers in and for people. You're going to be taking the music and the sounds to another level of expression and experimentation that has not yet been entered into by massive numbers of people on the world. I'm sure there are people experimenting with it, but you'll be among the first, being an Aquarius, because that's the sign of being a pioneer, among the first in some of these breakthrough type of energies. Interestingly enough, Mars, which rules your career house, the house that you set with band and sound in, that falls in your house of marriage and marriage partner. So being married to someone in this, and then also working in the same type of field together, would make sense.
Exactly. And he's a Libra, very intelligent. Got to be able to talk to my partner. If I can't talk to my partner, the rest of it is just blah.
In the house of your partner, you also have the moon. So that could be, beyond the mother issues, that also could be in interesting things with food, eating, diet, his stomach. And Mars is there, and Mars rules the face, the forehead, the areas around the eyes, the nose, the facial bones, the sinuses, the face itself. And Mars is very famous for good looks. Believe it or not, many Aries people, which are ruled by Mars, will often be very good-looking because their face is somehow emphasized or radiant. And having Mars in your seventh house, you can have a partner who could be very good-looking, at least have a very good-looking face.
I love his face. What? I could stare at his face for hours. I just love the way that his face is put together. It's true. You know, I'm just like, look at your cheekbones and your forehead and your hairline, your nose. You're just a beautiful man. And he really is. He's a good looking guy with long hair, just exactly the way I want him. You know, he's the most
because of Mars in your marriage house. You see, Mars
and the stomach
gives,
issues
facial
are mine.
Charisma.
Right, and the stomach issues are mine. He doesn't have them so much as I do, actually. I'm a celiac, and when you talk about Jupiter expanding the waistline, mine actually shrank, I lost an incredible amount of weight to the point where I was starving to death, basically. So the stomach issues are all mine at this point.
By the way, you've corrected that, I hope, right, or been working to have that corrected?
I have, yeah. That actually happened a couple of years ago, and yes, I've gained not all of the weight back, but, you know, I've gained about half of it back, and I'm on a diet to where I don't get sick all the time. So, yeah.
Well, what caused the diet problems and the stomach issues is the moon opposite the ascendant. See, your ascendant is in the latter part of Cancer, and the moon is at the latter part of Capricorn, and you were born pretty close to the time the moon was setting or going down in the western sky. And as such, it was sitting opposite the ascendant, which is your physical body and physical self now. And people that have the moon in that position can have issues with their stomach or digestion. And especially, here's the other key, it's at the 29th degree. It's at what we call an anaretic degree, an ending degree. That means some type of karma or karmic issues from past lives, plural, will be worked off and worked out and completed and balanced out by dealing with some type of issue with digestion and the stomach. But that doesn't mean it's going to be true your whole life. It just means you can be having it and work it through and work it off.
Well, I have a twin flame walking in this life who astrologically is opposite in every way, where I'm all Aquarius, he's all Scorpio and Sagittarius, basically. All of his planets are in Scorpio and Sagittarius. And that is part of the karmic issue that we're working out in this life.
Interesting. You have Uranus, your ruler, of Aquarius in Scorpio, and you've got Neptune, the intuitive one, the mystical one, in Sagittarius, which is kind of interesting. Fascinating chart. You would be a brilliant astrologer. Wood is not the right word. You are a brilliant astrologer, and I highly recommend you work and develop this
and continue
your interest, work with it. With, I don't want to say it should be your one and only job, because the love of sound and music, I'm sure, is number one, and understandably with Venus up there. But you,
my mediumship is number one always. Yeah.
But you can work very well with astrological consultations because of the fact that you sense and pick things up with that Cancer rising.
Yes, I actually use the birth. I do birth charts. I've never had mine done because it's really difficult to sit down and look at your own and come up with all these amazing things yourself.
That's true.
As big
it
of an
is.
Ego as I have, you know.
People don't believe that, but what you just said is very true. You
it
really
is.
Can't do your own.
It's the same thing for any kind of reading. It's very difficult to do your own. Yeah.
Yeah. Very true.
But I use the birth chart as a basis for personal development. Let's see where you started out, and let's see where we can go to fix things and rectify things so that you can turn things around and do what you need, what you're supposed to do in this life or what you're meant to do.
Very good and very interesting. One other thing about Pluto in your fourth house, because you just mentioned the birth chart and the beginning of this life in that. It, with Pluto there, yes, we talked about spirit energies and places where spirits are manifested, but let's go to something else. Pluto represents the positive need for killing off something, and I mean this in a positive way. So with
yes.
Pluto in Libra, the sign ruled by Venus, which falls in your career house, Venus is way up there, you can really work with counseling and with helping others to kill off ancestral connections that are being passed on generation and generation
yes.
and generation that are not
yes.
good, to break that lineage, to snip that thing and to stop it from going on further, and also to go back and find out if there's any inherited karma that keeps coming in genetically from families, mother's side, father's side, and work to say, you know, it ends here, no further. You can actually work in the, and I mean this in the positive way of using the word killing off these types of things that are like tentacles that extend from the past into the present.
Exactly. Yes, I work with people on letting go of emotional roots and killing them, basically. So, yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Wow.
I love
and
doing
that's
it.
What the Pluto-Venus opposition shows, too. Interesting. You've got a very fascinating chart, a fascinating one. And Jupiter in Taurus, we must remember this. You were born with it in probably the strongest fiscal financial orientated sign of all, Taurus. And even though there could be this period of like, you know, where's the next money coming in, it's still going to, in the long run, look out for you. And the older you get, the more financially abundant, the more financially productive, the more financially astute this chart gets. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get the astuteness to work. It's just going to start coming more and more and more
right,
and more.
Right,
right. It will take
I've
less struggle
this
or
feeling.
Effort. It'll just flow.
It's awesome. I've always had this feeling. And as far as 2015 is concerned, I'm really, really excited about the Jupiter in the money house because, you know, 2015, my birthday is February 15th. So I'm looking at 2015 going, yes.
Hey, that's interesting. You know, a lot of Aquarius people are kind of biting their nails saying, oh my, Jupiter's in Leo. It's opposing Aquarius and opposing
it
us.
Is,
and I
yeah.
keep saying, think of a seesaw, a teeter-totter. You
yes.
have to have two opposite ends to keep it balanced. And if Jupiter's on one end in the Leo side, you're on the other end in the Aquarius side, and you're co-balancing the energy. I don't see oppositions between planets as necessarily being all that bad, even though I was taught that in my early astrology college, that it was the second worst aspect when some planet sits opposite another. But yet, Aquarian people can have that great harmonic teeter-totter seesaw type aspect between Jupiter in Leo until next year it will enter Virgo. It enters Virgo August 11th, I think. Yes, August 11th, 2015. And the reason why Jupiter's still in your money house until September is you have 5 degrees Virgo at the exit point of your house of finance. So Jupiter has to go those first 5 degrees before it leaves that house.
Okay. Well, that's
I hope I haven't talked your ear off.
No, thank you so much. It was awesome. I've never had a chart reading done before. Like I said, I looked at mine and I went, oh, that's cool. And I put them together with my husband and my twin flame, you know, to see. I was particularly interested in the karmic similarities between myself and my twin flame, but everything looks opposite. There's no similarities. My husband and I have a few houses and planets that are within a few degrees of each other, like that retrograde Pluto you're looking at in the fourth house in Libra. Mm-hmm. His is the same, and it's I think maybe one degree away from mine, and I believe that it's also retrograde, but I'm not 100% on that.
Does he have Cancer rising like you do?
No, he does not have Cancer rising. I believe he has a Gemini rising. I'd have to look.
That would be a possibility. Either would be Gemini, Cancer, or Leo rising. So, you know, with Gemini rising, that could give him a baby face. When people his own peer group were growing up and getting older, he would still look younger. And many members of his family that he was born into could also, it could be mothers, fathers, or one side, or both sides, could look younger than their years belie, because Gemini rising is a very youthful-looking a person.
Yeah, and he does actually when he shaves his facial hair off, he's got a baby face.
Yes,
like he and my son look the same. And he did that for a long time, and then one day he shaved it off and he didn't have the baby face anymore, and I went, I don't want to look at your face like that. Put the hair back. But I love the baby face. I was like, oh, look, there it is. You know.
Yeah, Gemini rising is a very youthful-looking sign. It does keep a person tending, especially in the early part of their life. I'll tell you, I had a cousin who was in her 30s, and she had Gemini rising, and they would still ask her for her IDs in bars. And like she was 31, and she'd laugh, and she'd say, I'm 31, and they would ask her for her ID. That's what the kind of baby face she had.
Wow, so Cancer must be old then, because I look older than I am already, and I'm not that old.
It's probably because the ruler of your ascendant, the moon, falls in Capricorn, which is the sign of being older looking or older.
Right, and worry.
But it also gives you longevity. That'll give you longevity for a longer lifespan.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Trade-off, that's good.
Well, thank you so much, Ron.
Capricorn is the
longest-lived
sign of the zodiac.
Capricorn is?
Well, I don't want people born into that sign to think that they're going to live like Methuselah forever, but I do want them to realize that planets in Capricorn, if they're in certain configurations in the chart, will give longevity.
Well, no, I ask because my grandmother is a Capricorn, and she's 80... I don't even know. She was born 1932, so I think she's going to be 82 this year. And aside from a little bit of osteoporosis, that woman is still very healthy and very active. So,
well, wait till you see her in her 90s and more.
But she's also very stubborn. We'll leave it at that, though.
That
might be why
that
she's
could
so
be a
healthy.
Problem of Saturn.
That's a little Capricorn.
Well, have we covered everything that we need to?
I think so. Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing this reading for me so much because it really, I'm really excited to know that I'm already doing some of the things, and I'm really excited to know the money issue is going to be gone pretty soon because I'm done with it. Yeah.
Well, wait till you see a shift in the last few months of this year. Remember, we're still a month away from Jupiter entering your financial house. But once it gets there, it's a fire planet. It doesn't waste a lot of time. You'll see things shift definitely in the last number of months of this year. And then you'll see it really stay in that positive shifted way through three quarters of next year.
Awesome.
Now, it doesn't
get
bad after that, but it gives you that booster shot of a money flow or abundance. So
right.
It makes things, you know, once it leaves that house, And by the way, when it leaves it, which will be again September 2015, it's going to go into your house of thinking, intelligence, mind, planning,
right,
ideas. So that will be there for 1 year now.
Right.
Wow.
Awesome. Beautiful. Nice. Thank you so much, Ron. That was just amazing. I'm amazed, and I would love to learn more from you. Because, yes, I do teach astrology. I do use astrology. I use the birth chart, but there is so much more that, I mean, astrology, you could probably spend a lifetime learning and not learn everything,
right,
almost.
And I think,
yes,
Ron does
true
classes, or he's working on doing classes. I know he's done classes in the
past.
I don't know
if
you have
anything
in
my own
up
location, but I'm thinking of doing them in a different way now because it's so awkward for people to come. Sometimes they can't come this night, that night. So I'm thinking of doing it maybe, and I haven't started this yet, but thinking of doing something where I can do electronic classes and people sign up and they could take the class according to the night that they're free, or, you know, get the link to it and pull it up and study it from that link.
Oh, so they can do it on their time.
That's right. They can do it on their time because you get 20 people who want a class and 5 can't come one night, 8 can't come another night, 2 or 3 can't come a third night, and you get to the point where you can't just appease everyone, you see.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we go through that. Actually, we do teach classes, which if you're interested, Ron, we'd love to have you at some point. But we teach classes on spiritualistonline.com. Glennis was in here talking about her empathy class that she's on her way
to.
Oh,
how interesting.
Oh, cool.
And we teach all over the world. So we have that same problem. We've got 10,000 different time zones that we have to work with. Glennis is still up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make that empathy class. And we, one of the things that we found is that a lot of people would say, oh, it's not my time. It'll be in the middle of the night for me, and I can't do that. So we kind of sort of swap. You know, we're here in California, which is kind of in the middle. And we swap some morning classes, some evening classes. If you can't make those times, honey, you don't want to learn. Sorry. But
yeah, you're right.
When
I first started studying astrology, I was going to a full-time university in the day and taking a full course load, and the astrology university that I signed up with had classes in the day and the evening, and I went to evening classes. And it was almost the first year that I went to the evening course. And by the way, there was no vacation. You signed up and you went one solid year, no breaks other than maybe a holiday day off. And then the second year, I switched to day classes, and the third year, I was in day classes. But I had to accommodate, too, and I had to do it when it was open and available for me, and I'm so glad I took the evening classes.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, that's what I think about. You know, if you're most of the time when I'm working with people, those ones that say, well, is that a good time for me, are not ready to commit to the learning yet. You know, you have to be ready to commit. And then you'll make time for the classes. And,
yep,
you know, those of us that are teaching the classes, we have lives too, believe it or not.
Right, yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ron. I really appreciate you doing this chart reading for me. And I'm going to be super stoked for the
amazing
whole day. I
it'll
will
be in archives. It'll be in archives, Melissa. That's the wonderful thing. You can download it.
Yes, I mean,
great,
I've got to have my husband listen to this. It's awesome.
Well,
cool.
I know, Casey, you've got people wanting to have your readings, and I know how talented you are. And by the way, I never had a chance to thank you, and I'm going to do it right now for that very wonderful reading you did just after my birthday. And it's wonderful that it's in archives because I pull it up and listen, and I hear details that I didn't hear the first time. Or even play it again
cool
a second time. So I thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank
you're
you.
You're very
my
talented,
privilege
by the way. In fact, you're both very talented.
Thank you very much.
Well,
alrighty.
I'll be on, I guess, next week then, and I hope Bonnie's having a okay week.
Yeah, she's just busy. I kind of made a joke earlier. I said, you know, she's being rushing this week. She's rushing here and rushing there, trying to get her kids ready for school.
Well,
but she misses
we'll
everybody, says, hey, she really wanted to be here. She was going to try to call in. She never made it. So I'm like, well, dang.
Well, then
but
I'll thank you again. And I guess next Wednesday, then, I'll be back on the air then. same time.
All right.
Huh?
Sounds good. Well, we'll see you then. Okay. Hopefully I'll talk to you between now and then, Ron. So,
it'd be a big pleasure.
I was going to say, tell everybody your email and your Facebook stuff, too. So if people want to get a hold of
you. The way you could reach me, folks, is by my email. It's livingastro, LIVINGASTRO, livingastro@AOL.com. And I am on Facebook, and there are a lot of Ronald Coles out there when you pull up Facebook. And so I did something very different. When I had a photograph taken for Facebook, the photograph came out with this orange glow. And there wasn't anything wrong with the camera. We couldn't figure out what happened. But this magnificent, like, orange light was in this photograph. And I'm the Ronald Cole that's in the picture that's orange. And you'll see what I mean if you pull up Facebooks of the different Ronald Coles, and I'd be very happy to befriend anyone. So thank you so much.
All righty. Well, thank you, Ron.
Pleasure meeting you again, Melissa.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm so pleased. It's like, I could listen to Ron for hours. I just could. It's like the depth of his knowledge and the stuff that he knows. I mean, anybody that, you know, if you've missed any of his other Wednesdays, he goes back and does stuff. What was it? Clear back in December. He's been pretty much faithfully on every Wednesday with a couple exceptions, little vacation days and some sick days. But it's like pretty much every Wednesday Ron is with us, and he has covered so much so far. It is amazing.
Well, that's true.
It is.
Casey, I know it was December, but Bonnie keeps telling me it was November. But I don't think so. I think I started, she asked me to be on Wednesdays in December, and I know we started before Christmas.
Yeah. Mine was, because I think mine was one of the first charts you did, and it was back in December. It was like December 18th.
That's right. That's right. You were the pioneer person. How about that? Pioneer reading.
A pioneer in a lot of ways. Oh, boy. I make a good guinea pig. I love it.
Hey, it's
well,
the Aquarian way,
again,
you know?
Being back on next week and other weeks. So, again, I think we had a really interesting show today, not because I was the person talking, but because I had such an interesting connection with you, Melissa, because last week you and I chatted and chatted when Bonnie, unfortunately, kept being kicked off and on. She'd get back on. We were just talking about patterns, and I didn't even have your chart set up. So that's why I think we had an interesting show today, because I actually had your chart set up this week. So we've had a rapport even from last show. So I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, right, me too. I kind of had my chart up, and I was throwing things at you. Well, this planet's here, and this planet's here. And you actually answered some very interesting questions about, because I had my husband's in my chart up. And like I said, we've got about three planets that are in the same. I was mistaken on Pluto. His Pluto's in the fifth house, and mine is in the fourth. But it's literally in the same degree. One's retrograde, one's not. So, and you know, really answered some questions for me about that in terms of, you know, how, because chart comparisons are not something that I'm very strong with yet, or progressions also at the same time.
Oh, that took me a long time to get that. I entered a class in which I was the only complete novice when I took my first class, my first day in the Astrology University. Everyone else had studied astrology or some amount of it, and they knew so many terms. And here I am sitting there going, I don't know if I will ever understand this. This is overwhelming.
Yes,
but I stayed with it, and that made the difference. It's very complicated. We've had guests on this show who said they've studied astrology to some extent, and it is very complicated, and they have to give homage to it, because the more you learn, the more you realize there's more things to learn, and more things are being discovered. Like earlier on, we were talking about the galactic center. 40 years ago, that would never be a part of astrology classes because it was unknown yet. It wasn't connected to be part of Sagittarius. So in the next few hours, let's say in the next 6 to 8 hours, the moon will now be moving into and across the galactic center. So hopefully everyone will have good meditation and or good sleep when that's happening. Okay?
Yeah, and or.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. I'll see you next week.
All righty.
Bye, Ron. Thank you.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you both. Bye.
You bet. Thank you. Bye. All righty. Melissa.
Hello.
We got a We got a couple callers here that I know have been waiting quite a while to talk to you, and I would, if you're up to it, if you'd like to take a couple callers. I know they were probably some of our overflow, because the last time you were on, I didn't even get to ask you a question, because Bonnie said there were so many people she couldn't find the end of the list, which is why she didn't find me. So.
The good news is Bonnie and I are like sisters that just found each other over the country, literally. She's on one side and I'm on the other. And
I will
be back many, many, many times on this show. So no one will get left behind.
All right. Well, with that in mind, can we take a couple? We got, like I say, we got two and we got mine. So we got three. Are you willing to do three of us today?
I can do that. It looks like 10 minutes per person to me. So, yeah, that works.
All right. That's good. That works. Okay. We're going to start at area code 626. You are on with us. If there it is. There we go. Blog Talk Cooperated. You're on live with us, 626.
Yes. Hello. How are you guys?
Hey there.
Really good.
My name's Bonnie. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles, another California girl. Awesome. I was not born there, but raised there as a child in Southern California, Los Angeles, Hollywood, San Fernando Valley, all that good stuff. Do you have I'm sorry?
I'm right by San Fernando Valley.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a particular question or just a general?
Right now, I just want to know about my love life. I want this guy, and I don't know what's going on with him and me.
I love how you say that. I want him. There is just not like, you know, I'm kind of interested in this guy. No, I want him. I love that. I want to say that this guy's kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Meaning, what I mean is that sometimes this is the one, and then the next day it'll be completely different, and you're like, what is going on here? Okay. Funny, Ron was talking about mother issues earlier in my chart with men, and I do sense that there's some mother issues there with this one. Also, I'm sensing some previous relationship issues with this gentleman.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's opened up about that or not. So one of the biggest things is that I feel around him is that he's very skittish, if you know what that means. He gets to a point where he seems like he's happy and he wants to settle down, but it scares him because he's afraid he's going to get hurt. I also want to say that this happens the most when you get upset or angry about something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You guys argue with each other, and as soon as there's an argument, he's gone. He bolts.
Yeah.
And so this man doesn't deal very well with confrontation, and he also doesn't deal very well with fixing problems, unfortunately. That's something that he needs to work on. So when there's an argument, he doesn't see it as a chance to resolve an issue between you. He sees it as a direct attack on him.
Yeah.
And this is a pattern that he's got to work on. So if you want to keep this relationship, I mean, I do see that other things about the relationship are actually really positive. You know, the two of you get along very well with each other. You have a lot of fun together. There's a lot of things that you have in common. But at the same time, it just seems like when life gets rough, he can't hang with it. He bolts from it. And you may need to exercise a lot of patience with this in order to help him through it, but you can't force him through it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if he's not willing to kind of sort of grow up and take on this responsibility, then that may be a very big issue for you in this relationship. So it's kind of up to you at this point. You know, you have a chance to kind of help him out with this, but you can't do it in a blunt and forceful way, because I get that this man doesn't really take being told what to do very well either.
Yes.
You know, advice, things like that, it really actually bothers him. You know, he's got this, I know what I'm doing, kind of an air about him, and yet in reality it doesn't seem like he really knows what he's doing on some levels. So
yeah.
He's not a bad guy, but I I definitely want to say that there's some issues there that he needs to work through. And if he doesn't choose to work through those, they're going to be very difficult for you in terms of your relationship. So,
do you see him anytime soon?
Do you like what?
Do you see me seeing him anytime soon? Because my heart hurts at this time. Like,
yeah. This, what normally happens, at least what I'm being shown, is that he'll stay away for a while and then he'll come back. When he stays away for a while, then he comes back. And this is part of his pattern.
Yeah, I don't want him to know more.
Right. This is part of his pattern. So, yes, he is going to come back. But at the same time, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about how many more times you really want to go through this situation of sitting there with your heart hurting. Or do you want to manifest the right relationship for you, the man that's going to stick around? And it's not that he's a bad man. There's nothing wrong with him. But when it comes to, in my experience, when it comes to a man that can't deal with things on an emotional level and he runs away from it, that's something that will continue to happen. And as you keep taking him back, it falls into a pattern where he keeps doing this over and over and over again. So you have to be prepared that if you keep taking him back, this is the way your relationship is going to be. So I want you to ask yourself, is this what you want for the rest of your life? Or are you looking for a relationship where you and a man can complement and work together on the issues? And that is possible. And it can be possible with him, but he has to be willing to make that change and be able to identify that he has a problem.
Yeah.
Okay? So, yes, I do see him coming back. He will. This pattern can go on for the rest of your life if you want it to. But do I see what?
Within this week?
I don't actually see within this week. I do see after the weekend, though. What is his birthday by chance?
June 8th, 1989.
He is a Gemini. He had air element written all over him. I would say after the weekend, because I'm also being shown that there's other issues that he still hasn't worked on from the past. And I mean, physically, the people are there. So he's got like an ex or your baby mama or something like that out there. You know what I mean? So I also see him going through issues with this too. So there's an overwhelming.
Is he with her at this time?
I'm sorry?
Is he with her?
It's not that he's with her. It's dealing with problems with her. There's a female around him and he's dealing with past issues still. Not actually fixing them, but continuing to go through the motions of them coming up. This guy seems to me like he's, you know, he gets really frustrated and when it's just you and him, he'll go off on all of the things that are bothering him, this person bothering that person, blah, blah, blah. But that's as far as it goes. He doesn't go to the person and say, I have a big problem with you. You're being a jerk, right? Or whatever it is. He doesn't, and this surprises me for a Gemini, because Geminis never shut up, normally. But it's not the right kind of communication. He needs to fix his problems. And what I see with him is a long line of issues that are left unresolved. And he's still trying to move forward, and he's dragging all of these bags of garbage behind him.
Is he in love with that girl?
No, I don't see that he's in love with that girl. I see that more that she's got him over a barrel with something. It's like either there's a child involved that she's using as a pawn, or there's something of his that she's using as a pawn to keep bothering him.
So, because I don't know, there was a pregnant girl on his phone, and I asked him, is that your baby? And it just, like, it's been getting to me lately.
Okay, Bonnie, I'm going to tell you something, okay? And I want you to listen to me, okay?
Yeah.
You deserve a hell of a lot better than what this guy is giving you. Bottom line.
Yeah.
I understand that he's hurting you. I understand that he said that he loves you. I understand all of these different things. But when it comes right down to it, you deserve to have a man that's going to be there with you. And if he has a baby, it's going to be with you. So you have to ask yourself when you're going to be ready to open that door and let that man come, and you're ready to let this other one go. I do have a friend of mine who has been in a situation like this, very similar to this. And this man literally put her through it for years. She lost her own baby because of it. I don't want to see that for you. What I want to see for you, and I invite you to come and talk to me at any time. I would love to work with you. I want to see you believe in yourself, look in the mirror, and say, I deserve the best man in the world that's for me. And I want to see you prepare yourself for him. I want to see you do that.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're lonely. My dad died. I live alone. Like, a lot of people, like, break in my house. It just, I go through a lot. And now, like, I don't have nobody. Now, I really feel lonely.
I know.
And I know. And people, like, gangs always break in my house. Like, a lot of people don't like me. They vandalize my car. Like.
Your dad is still there with you? Your dad is still there with you? And I definitely, you're not by yourself. You're not completely alone. Ask him to help you. Even if you can't hear what he's saying, he can make things happen. He can make people go away and stop vandalizing your car or breaking into your house. If you're living in fear, that fear is going to manifest all of that stuff to keep coming. If you can, get in touch with me. Are you in the chat room right now?
I try to go in, but it's not letting me go on the flash player.
Okay.
Are you on Facebook, Melissa?
I am on Facebook, but my Facebook is kind of a pain in the butt. I have a Facebook page. Would be the easiest way to get in touch with me. And honey, I want you to get in touch with me. It's time. It is time for you to do this for yourself, okay? Because you have some things that you need to let go of also. Everybody does. Everybody does. I don't care who they are. But I do have a Facebook page. If you look on Facebook, facebook.com/gratefulfairywing. This big picture will pop up on my page. It says, you are now entering a stress-free zone. When you get there, that's me. You can get a hold of me whenever you're ready. Honey, I'm ready to work with you.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm not saying that because I want your business. I'm saying that because you are ready. You're ready, and it's time. It's time for you, okay? And I want to see you succeed, and I know you want to see you succeed, and your father wants to see you succeed.
Yes.
Okay, but this guy right here, he's not going to protect you if he can't handle his own stuff.
But he does have a kid, you think?
I am picking up a child around him, so he may have one.
Okay.
And I wouldn't tell you that because I want to hurt your feelings.
Okay.
I like to be truthful. So I want to tell you right now, Bonnie, I love you. I'm giving you a great big hug from Central California. Okay? And you're not alone. Your father's there with you. Talk to him. Even if you're talking out loud, that's okay. You're not crazy. If people think you're crazy, screw them. It doesn't matter. Talk to him. Tell him. Help me. Put a bubble around my house. Keep these people out of my house. And he will do that. In fact, he can do more for you now than he did when he was living.
Very true.
I'm so glad you hung on.
There's more than just her. Yeah, there's more than just her dad there. It's like she's got a lot of support from the other side. She really does.
Yes. There's a grandmother that's constantly around her.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bonnie, for hanging out and for holding on the call.
You bet. We'll try to make the chat room a little more available, because there's lots, you know, there's people in there you can chat with too. So it's like, I'm trying to think. Usually the links are on Bonnie's page. I don't know if you know on the Facebook, if you can find Bonnie Mozendra Albers. Usually the link is up there, or I usually post it in also on Facebook Spiritual Learning Connections. So either or, come join us again. Alrighty.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Wowie zowie. Heavy metal.
I am the heavy metal psychic. Sorry.
No,
I do a show called the heavy metal psychic.
Handling heavy stuff. That's awesome. All righty. And we have area code 304 on with us. Area code, I think we got him on with us. He's working on it. There we go. Blog talk.
Hello.
Come on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Shantae.
Hi, Shantae. What can we do for you?
Well, I have two questions. I wanted to know where my life is heading, like career-wise.
Exactly where you want to go. That's the first thing that popped in my head. Exactly where you want to go. Do you want to go? That's what they're asking.
Oh wow!
You got your eyes already
set. I have no idea.
No, you've got something in your heart. There's something that you've always wanted to do, but I'm being told that you don't think you can do that. It has to be something else.
Wow.
So, for instance, a good example of that would be me running my own business, doing my counseling and astrology and all of that stuff, but thinking, no, I need a traditional job because that's what society says, right?
Right.
It's not easy, don't get me wrong, to run your own business, but it's definitely, for me, it's more lucrative because it allows me to do the many different things that I have to do. But, yes, you've got something on your heart. I also want to say there's something about healing around you, very strong
wow.
healing around you. My hands are getting super-duper-duper hot. Have you looked into Reiki healing or any
kind
of...
Oh, my goodness.
Energy
That's
healing.
All I've been thinking about for the last week or two.
Okay, so you know where you need to go. There's the answer to the first question, and I highly recommend it because let me tell you what a powerful healer you are. I think you already know a little bit, but you do send it out to people, you know, here and there, maybe anonymously. And you do kind of sort of see the results of that when you send it, you know, through the universe. So hands on,
okay.
You're going to rock it, girl.
Oh, wow.
You're
okay, thank
it.
You. Okay, and another question I have is children. Do you see any more children for me?
There is, Kurt, you already have, is there two?
I have three, and then I
have
one
three.
That passed away.
Okay. Yes, I do actually, but at the same time, I want to say, was there a complication with one of the pregnancies? Previous pregnancies?
I have one pregnancy where I gave birth and then she passed away like 3 weeks after she, well, a week after she came out of the NICU.
Okay.
So she's about 3 weeks old.
Okay. So was there an actual complication with the pregnancy? Or let me ask this question. Was there at any point where you thought you were pregnant, but you weren't before any of these other children were born?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So one of the things that I'm picking up is that thinking that you are and then not, and it's almost like a situation where you're excited, oh, my God, and then you get deflated, and then, bam, you get pregnant after that. So
oh, okay.
I do see one more child coming, and I wanted to make sure that the complication had passed because there was a complication and then one that was fine. So I believe that the complications already happened and the next one is fine because was this the last one that had the complication?
Well, I have one, and then I have the one that passed away, and then I end up having twins.
Okay. That's the two. Thank you. Okay. Okay. No, I am still seeing one more.
Okay, good.
There is still one more coming. So we've already got the twins. So no, there is still one more coming. But
do
look out for
boy?
That if you... I do see a boy. Yeah, actually. Is there blonde in your family by chance?
Blonde.
Any of the children blonde?
No.
Okay. I am being shown a blonde-haired boy, so I'm not sure. Maybe this one's the one that looks like the mailman or something. I don't know. could be blonde. You know, sometimes they're blonde in when they're born, you know, very, very light hair. So
okay.
That's what I'm being shown. It's a very small baby with very, very light hair.
Okay.
And, yeah, it would be a boy. Also seeing very rosy cheeks with this one.
Okay, wow.
I don't know why. So that could indicate to me my healthiest child birth, the child was bright red, and that indicated, I mean, he was his mother's child. He was very vocal when he was born. So that indicates to me a very healthy child.
Oh, wow, okay.
So.
Do you know how soon?
I don't think it's going to be right away. I'm getting a year, and I'm not sure if that's a year to pregnancy or a year to actual birth, but I think I'm kind of leaning more towards a year to pregnancy. I don't see it happening right away.
Okay. Well, that's good news. Is there anything that you can tell me as far as the child that passed away?
Was this a girl?
She was a girl.
She was a girl. Yeah, I can, actually. There's a couple of things. One, she likes to sit behind you on the couch or on your chair. You know how there's the top part, you know, up to the backing of the couch or the chair, and she likes to sit behind you, and she likes to play with your hair.
Wow.
She likes to stare and twirl it in her fingers and kind of sort of pat your head sometimes. When you think about her, when she pops into your mind, you know, you get emotional, and she kind of sort of, like, comes up behind you and puts her arms around you. She's very much with you all the time. All the time. I also want to say there's another little one of yours that sees her on a fairly regular basis.
Can you say that again?
There's one of your other children also sees this little girl.
Yeah.
And talks to her. He may not know that she's his sister, but he talks to her, is very gifted, and she's very much working with this child on, you know, learning more how to connect with them, because
okay.
it's a very comfortable relationship, the two. I also want to say that this child and the little girl child have a very close karmic relationship with each other. So it's
okay.
almost as if they couldn't be born together, if that makes sense. And that's why she chose to leave. But she wants you to know, and it's very, very clear, that it was nothing that you did. It had nothing to do with anything that you did. So if you have those thoughts in your mind, she says, please, please no. It happened because it was supposed to happen. And part of it is the working with this other child of yours. That, you know, she's kind of, it's almost like she's his guide or she's his teacher. And yes, she's also showing me at times when you're cooking things and you get this
uh-huh.
thing in your mind that you should put something more fun into the food and not make it boring, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's her.
Wow.
She's coming through and she's saying, no, don't do that. Make something fun, you know. That one's boring.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Do you have any other questions?
Okay, how about money? Do you see any money coming to me?
You need to get with that Reiki, honey, let me tell you.
Okay.
I was going to say it earlier, but, you know, don't worry about making money with it. That's
okay.
all I got to say. Don't worry about making money with it. It will be, you know, I mean, you're going to do your training, and it will be a little bit of a slow start, but at the same time, I'm telling you, if you don't know how powerful of a healer you are yet, you are about to find out. And I don't
oh,
want
wow.
that to scare you, okay? It's not a scary thing. It's all about the intent and how you use it. You are going to do very amazing things with that gift of yours. And you're also gifted in other ways, don't get me wrong. But the
okay.
healing is where you're being pulled to right now. And so, yeah, I definitely, you definitely look into it. I know a Reiki master teacher on spiritualistsonline.com. It's the website that I do teach all my classes off of. It's spiritualist with an S online.com. And you can look up Jeff Lonergan. He is our Reiki master and one of the best Reiki teachers I've ever worked with. And, you know, he doesn't charge a ton for his courses.
Okay, so great.
It's worth looking into. And I wish you a lot of luck with that because I'm telling you, you're going to be very good at it.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you need to tell me?
I have a side notation. If you get attuned while you're pregnant with a little one, your little ones come out attuned. It's like I went through that with my youngest of five. He came out an attuned little master. It was pretty interesting.
Wow.
Attuned. What do you mean? What is attuned?
When you do Reiki, the teacher attunes you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to signs and symbols. Yeah, something they do. They do in person. It's like I don't know a lot about how I'll say the more modern Reiki stuff is going, but any of the teachings, you know, the older teachings is always done in person, and they attune you on a physical level, emotional level, spiritual level. It's like there's three different levels you're attuned on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this instructor started out doing teaching in the sites, and then he made a tour of the United States. And finished off everybody's training as he went from place to place to place. It was awesome, actually. My dad got his Reiki master
certification,
and I was the guinea pig. It was a great healing. But yes, you have the capabilities of being just as good as he was. Sure.
Okay, well, I want to thank both you ladies so much. Like, you have
thank
blessed
you.
My day.
Awesome. Well, that was the last thing I was going to say. I was told to tell you to have a good day. So there you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you
Bye.
For calling and let us know
Bye.
How it goes. We always encourage our callers to call back in and let us know how what the results are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll do.
All righty. All right. Oh, my turn, Melissa. Yay.
It's your turn. Yay.
I got to say, I hope you don't mind a little bit of overtime. It's like for anybody who's listening in, if you want to listen in to live overtime, now's the time to call in 347-838-8864 because otherwise I'm not sure when you're in chat if the sound cuts off or, you know, it depends on what you're tuned in with. But anyway, so if you guys want to call and listen live, now's the time, or catch us in archives. But anyway, my question, I'm like her, though. I have a bunch of them. Right now, I've been trying to focus on which one is the most pressing, and it's like a snowball rolling downhill from Aquarius to Aquarius.
Right.
You know that feeling? It's like it picks up
yes.
this piece, that piece, and it just keeps going. I'm like, oh, geez.
Yes, and you can't just pick one. You want to do them all.
I know. Well, I think the most pressing one is our geographic living place right now, because I've had a lot of different, I'll say, signs and signals. I've been pretty much straight up told, I'll say, from the other side, different messages and so on and so forth, that I need to be living someplace near a vortex, and I was told not someplace well-known, quote, touristy, like Mount Shasta or Sedona, because, you know, those are huge vortexes, but apparently there's someplace that's as powerful, but it's not as well-known. And I was like, okay, fine. Can you help me along with this? It's like, oh, that's part of your journey is to find this. I'm like, oh, gee, thanks, guys. That's just fantastic. So I know we're currently in Idaho, and I started looking up, you know, ley lines and where I'm at, and it was really funny because one psychic that I'd called, this guy was like, I'm just getting you with blue. And I was sitting there, well, I'm in a blue room. But it's like when I looked up the ley lines, I found out I was on a blue ley line that, you know, was in a direct connection from out of 90 seconds, okay, 95 seconds anyway, but I was on this blue line. I went, okay, this is part of the reason I'm out of balance, because I'm typically blue and I need to be on a different type of, you know, different color of ley line, I guess, to balance me out. So I'm over blued right now. But I need to find out, where in the world is Carmen San Diego? Do I need to go? I'm going to confine it to the western states. I'm not planning on moving past past the Mississippi River.
But right.
Like, is there anything that you can, you know, that you can pick up? I mean, I've had, like I said, sometimes I've tried pendulum work, and it seems like if I can figure it out, it's 180 degrees opposite of what it tells me it really is. But I got this place down to, like, I don't know, someplace in Montana, and I'm like going, it's like yes and no. And I was told there were three places that would, you know, that would have the correct vortexes, but one place would be correct for all the things we need. Because I have two of my five children still at home. I have a 14 and a 12. We're working on ninth and seventh grades, respectively. And it's got to be a place that, you know, we can all thrive in, where we'll be celebrated rather than tolerated, which is what I feel like here, the place we're at now. I'm out here because my daughter is here with her husband. She just had her third little one, actually, on Ron and Bonnie's birthday on July 14th. So there's another little
one. Oh, that's the one I heard about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like,
well,
I'm stymied. It's like we're getting close to needing to start to school because, you know, like I said, I mean, when I told Ron earlier, some places start the 12th, and I'm going, we're not going to go to a brick and mortar. We're looking for a hybrid place, and I'm not sure. And some places start as late as like the 26th, but it's like, do we even need to be in Idaho anymore? Do we need to be in Wyoming? Do we need to be in Colorado? Do we need to be in Montana? Where in the heck do we need to be on this planet, you know?
Right, right. The first thing I got when you said the blue is the sky. This is a place where you can see a lot of sky. Now, I know here in the Central Valley,
sky country.
Well, here in the Central Valley of California, when we're far enough away from the mountains that you can see it's probably the one beauty of the Central Valley in California to me, where you can just see miles and miles of sky. But I know it's not here. There's somewhere else where the sky goes on for miles.
Yeah.
Which
and
to me
I've
would
been,
say it's very flat.
It's aptly named Big Sky Country. It is. It's amazing.
Okay. So is that one of the options that you're looking
That's
into?
One of the options. I mean, I took a map of the USA and I went over and I, you know, did everything. And the first, when I went through myself, Montana was the only yes I got on the map. I went, okay, I don't trust this. So it's like, you know, because like you say, you know, it's really hard to disassociate yourself from your own stuff and to get a really clear
yes,
view.
Yes, it is.
Right.
It is, yeah.
So I did go to another friend and she got, you know, I mean, she gave me like 26 different states. There was some of them, you know, to the west of Mississippi, and I went, no, I'm not going there. I was going to say,
there's 26 on this side.
No, I got places like Alaska and Hawaii, which I'd love to be in, and I went, okay, God, you just rained money on me. I'll be happy. You know, it's like just
oh,
like
yeah,
a million
there's a
bucks
lot of blue
the
there,
sky.
Too. Yes, there's
I was
a lot
born
of blue
in
there too.
I'd love to go back.
And there is water, by the way, also, because I am being shown a lot of sky and water, but I'm not necessarily sure that it's ocean water. I think it's more of like a very large lake or something like that.
Reservoir.
But
okay.
There is water significant there. There is snow there too, which would kind of point me to Montana because I know there's snow. Their winters are like.
Yeah.
Well,
I was going to say, after I was born in Hawaii, my parents decided to move to Wyoming. Like, I don't know why.
Right? That's like the exact opposite of living there. But actually, you can acclimate because of that. You can acclimate very easily to any climate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's certain climates that you would rather not, but you can acclimate
right.
to it if you have to. And it doesn't, this isn't a permanent move, by the way, at all that I'm being shown. At
it's
all,
not,
it's not permanent. I mean, it'll be
okay.
established for a while, but you'll move again. Studies show that you move not a lot, but you know, you get to a place, the place works for you for a while, and then it doesn't. And that's kind of how I feel about the place you're at right now. It works for a while, but now it just doesn't.
It doesn't.
And the energy is off.
It is. I totally.
It
agree.
Is off, and it's nasty. And you know, I mean, it's. Very judgmental in many ways.
Wow. Yeah.
It's
nailed that one. Yes, you did.
Right. And it's interesting that you mentioned Mount Shasta. I had no idea. I'm about 4 hours away from Mount Shasta.
Wow.
And the lake there is extraordinary, by the way. Extraordinary.
Wow.
Well, it usually is. Right now we're going through a drought, so you can see the town that used to live under the lake now. It's not as extraordinary as it normally is. But maybe we need more light workers coming to California so we can pray for rain or something. Guys, anybody?
I'm in Idaho praying rain here because if we don't get rain here, there's going to be no food. We're in the farm valley.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And our mountains are literally on fire right now. And so we're hoping the Bay Area is getting the rain, and I'm like pulling it this way. Come on, guys. Mountains, go. Go to the mountains.
Pull some out to the Waihi Reservoir because that's what we need. It needs about 100 feet of water to fill that sucker up.
That's okay. We'll keep blowing it in that direction. You know, we need a little bit, and then we'll keep blowing it in that direction, you know, so it can keep moving and doing its job. But, yeah, I do see blue skies, lots and lots and lots. I mean, that's the difference between Shasta and here, unless you're on the top of the mountain, is the blue skies. Yeah. You don't have that. In Shasta County, that area. My husband does a lot of shows in that area.
Wow.
I'm actually looking for physical work in that area when we're there to kind of sort of work wherever they're working, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful place for that. But I am getting more of a flatter land.
Flat space. Okay.
No, I'm not being shown the mountains right now. I'm not going to discount that for later, though.
What's really funny is like how your card is the Ten of Diamonds. Mine is the Five of Spades, and there's another gal who's in chat with us today, Organic Skies. She is also a Five of Spades, and it's called the card of the Wanderer. And it's like my mother always said she was the gypsy of the clan, and I'm like going, no, she has no idea. I wish I just had a wagon, you know.
Right.
We move a lot. I've moved a lot to a lot of different spaces and places. It's just, yeah.
That is awesome. I was literally raised, and of course I did it because, you know, I said I wasn't going to do it when my mother did, and then I did it myself because that's what we do, right? And I was raised threatened with gypsies. The gypsies are coming, and they're looking for little children. They're going to take you away, so... Your mom has been chasing me around my whole life, and you have too, apparently.
Well, it's funny because apparently one of my cousins told me that my mother was 69th generation Romanian gypsy, and he looks at me and he goes, you know what that makes you? And I'm going, no. He goes, 70th generation? I was like, oh, thanks. Glad to know that. That's awesome. What do I do with it now?
Hey, I was born in the 70s.
Yeah, no, that's I was going to say, you were born in 1970?
I was born in 77.
77, oh, Lordy, I feel old now. That was the year I graduated from high school.
I'm sorry.
But in my
defense, having so many adult children of my own around, I kind of need that every now and then, just so you know. Because I'm like, oh my God, they're getting younger and younger around here, and I'm getting old, not cool.
No. Aquarius, we are the ageless people. It's like one of the best mantras we ever had somebody come on the show and give us. And she sounded, oh my goodness, she sounded so young. All of us were thinking, man, this is like in her 20s, you know. And she goes, oh, I'm in my 60s, like 64. So we all was just like pick the jaw up off the ground, attach it, you know. She said, she
right.
goes, but I, you know, she says, my mantra, you know, it's like, I am spirit, you know, spirit is ageless, spirit is useful, you know, eternally. I'm going, I am so stealing that mantra. So it's like my I am has become, you know, I am ageless, I am spirit, I am youthful. You know? Like, it's awesome.
I think I'm going to jump on that bandwagon because, yeah, I don't like feeling old. It makes me feel lazy and heavy, and I can't do what I need to do when I'm lazy and heavy. You know what I mean? Because Aquarius also has that lazy tendency, you know. Let me just come up with all the ideas and get the minions to do all the work, you know, kind of a mentality, you know.
Despicable me. I love the minion side, though. It's like...
You got to have your minions.
I love those guys, man.
Awesome. Whatever, you know. You can't be an Aquarian without them.
Exactly.
How that works, you know. I'm thinking now, this great idea is coming to my head. We've got to do an Aquarian show. That's all there is to it. We've got to do a show together, Aquarian Power. you know, we can, the two of us are going to save the world.
The Aquarian Age, rise, yes. The rise of Aquarius. Well, it's more like the rise of Atlantis, but anyway, so back to my geographical, Aquarius, jump back to my geographical stuff. So the other, I mean, because Bonnie kept telling me Colorado, she goes, I kept seeing Colorado, and some people were like, you know, yeah, Four Corners, Colorado, something like that, and I'm going, well, they definitely told me not New Mexico and not Arizona. And I mean, there are some definite no's in here. I mean, you know, regrettably, California was a no. Nevada was a no. Oh, golly, what else? Texas was a no. I mean, there was a bunch of the southern states and things that bordered water that were like solid no's. It was like,
yeah,
because
okay. I don't think this is ocean water. It looks like a big lake water.
Lake water. Okay.
So, you know, I would attribute that to like Salt Lake City, but not, it's not Salt Lake City. There's another one, and I want to say Montana. I don't know. Is that the Big Sky Country? Where's the Big Sky Country?
Yeah, Montana is Big Sky Country. I'm sitting here with this atlas as we're talking.
You are an Aquarian.
Not practical, yeah. So where am I going? It's like I want to do better than, you know, hang a map on the wall and throw a dart, you know?
Exactly. Well, I don't know. Sometimes that works. I've gone that route, and it has paid off, okay? Not comfortable, but it works, you know? But no, I do. I do see Montana because I see the snow there, but I do see this very large body of water. So wherever this huge lake is, in Montana, this is where you want to go. That's the part of the state, I guess, you want to gravitate to. And it's actually a very small town.
Small
you know,
town,
in
like
terms of, I'm sorry?
Something like by the name of Hamilton?
Hamilton sounds good, yeah.
I'm
getting a thumbs up on that one. Hamilton sounds good, but yeah, it is. It's a small town. It's literally, the water's like right there. And this water is very important because I don't know what kind of work you do, but I'm showing you working in the water, not during the winter, but I'm showing you in the water, whether it's earth healing into this water or something. There's a lot of energy coming from this particular lake, and it's not one of the well-known ones.
See, and this is where Hamilton's at, is it's right, it's like on the border. It's on the border of Montana and Idaho, and it comes down, I'm trying to see, there's a river and a reservoir that's right there, and Hamilton's below it, or above it, whichever way it is.
Okay.
Clark Fork, something like that. Okay.
How far is it away from, that you said Idaho, not Utah, never mind. There's like four states, I always get confused for some reason.
Yeah. It's about 8 hours to the east and north of where I'm currently at now, or maybe 10.
Are you
it's
close to
the
big lake right now?
I'm close to Owyhee Lake right now, or the Owyhee Reservoir, which is like really horribly low. Yeah, we're like 20 miles as the crow flies. We're also,
okay.
There's a really cool, it's like I've been wondering about the hot springs, because I've been struggling to try to go, gee, should I live down by the Givens Hot Springs? There's something with the hot springs. And that's why I was almost wondering, there's a place in Wyoming that's got hot springs that are, I will say, free. It's kind of cool. I've also looked where it's at, and it's kind of, I mean, it's about maybe 70 miles from, I actually do have a house in Wyoming that I inherited from my dad, but it's a fixer-upper, you know, type of thing. But, yeah, it's one of those moments where I'm thinking it's something with the hot springs, and it's like, and I know I need to work in the water for my health, but it's like, I also know that there's stuff when you put out vibrations within the water, it also affects the aquifers, and it affects a lot of things.
Yes. Yes. And the hot springs, I do agree with you on doing the work, but I don't see you living there right now.
Okay.
There's something about that energy that's not going to balance with you right now. Later,
okay.
Maybe. Yes. But
right.
I do see you actually going back to that house you inherited, too, at a later time. But
okay.
But right now, for what you need to do right now, it's all about this other lake over there. And the river right there, too, is perfect because you can literally flush. It's just, I literally
flush the toxins. Yeah,
flush the toxins, exactly. I mean, I literally see that as you're moving from place to place, it's like you're healing pieces of that land as you go to all these different places. You know, you're putting your energy in there for yourself, but you're projecting it out to the earth too, and you're you know, in some ways, I know it's difficult to see that with where you're at right now, but when you leave a balance behind. is what it is. So it almost seems like when the energy starts to get tense, that's when you have to move on, and it's the universe saying, it's time for you to move on. You have another place to go, I guess.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. It does. That's been a great pattern of my life. It has. It's like, it's not one that I really planned for. I was really glad that I had, you know, one school that I went to, and that was often what my children wanted, was they wanted just one school to go to, and instead they ended up in a multiplicity of schools, and they knew, well, a lot of our earlier moving was like, I'll say around the whole state of Wyoming, because that's where my parents were, and so we kind of stayed there, but they knew people from all four corners of Wyoming, and it's like, it really broadened their social circle, because, you know, Wyoming's like 9th in landmass and 50th in population. So.
Right. I'm sure the Aquarian thing, because I tell you, I've moved a lot in my life too, but I've never left California. I've been in every part of California, but I've not ever left the state myself. But I have moved, I don't know how many times in my life. It's craziness.
I know. I decorate an early American cardboard box. It's about the joke of the family.
Yes.
We
still haven't unpacked from 4 years ago, and we're planning on moving again. And it's exactly the way. The same thing with you. The energy was great when we got here, and now it's like we got to go. Okay.
We have
to get out of here.
Yeah. See, that was one of the things I was wondering was whether there was still a place in Idaho that was appropriate, or whether we needed to, you know, jump states, whether it was like Wyoming now or Wyoming later or Montana now. It's like, that's what I've really been struggling with, is the where and the wherewithal. Because it's like, universe is great at saying, we want you to go here. And I'm like going, great. Now where's the traveling cash, guys? Where's the voucher? Come on. You know, it's like, you want me to go do all this stuff. And it's like, how about a car that runs, you know, and some gasoline money to get there, eh? You
know? Right. And some money for food while we're at it. That would be great. Yes. We're kind of there now. But, you know, at the same time, the way that I see it, and I kind of sort of woke up to this maybe 4 or 5 years ago, literally. It literally wasn't that long ago. And I just said, you know what? The thing about life is that you can either do it or not do it.
Right.
And the money and all of that other stuff, all of it is nothing but worries that get in the way. And we are crazy, okay? I mean, literally, we're nuts. I know we are. Because my husband's in a band that we don't get any money out of. And, you know, and he works full time as a bus driver, and I stay home with my children, and I run my business doing readings and radio shows and all of these different things. And I'm not rich off of it, but I love what I do. And I give a lot of people deals because people don't have the money and I want to work with them. And that's not a lucrative business for me. But the point is, if we still have a house, we have food most of the time.
There you go.
There's always a couple of days.
Even
you know,
if it's ramen and peanut butter, you got something,
you know,
in the house. Exactly.
Right? Yes, exactly. You know, and you know, our bills get paid. And when we get into, when we get into a bind, we're provided for in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, the way that I started to look at it was, you know, we're here to live our dreams. It doesn't, and all that other stuff is just those things that are set up to get in the way of us getting of us living our dreams. So money is going to come, you know, and that's how I kind of look at it. I wish my husband would get on that same page, but he's getting there. But money, it always comes, right? And we're able to do it. So the bottom line is, if you see something and you decide you want to do it, make it happen, you know, and that's what I do. And my guides, I rely on them. Okay, guys, this is the house that I want. Make it happen.
Right.
You know, and they do. And they do.
Yeah.
I mean, literally,
since I've listened to The Secret about 75 times, I'm getting better at it.
Well, with my husband's band, that's exactly how it worked. I begged and pleaded and, come on, guys, you guys were awesome. Come on. No, we can't. Nobody's going to like it. Blah, blah, blah. And I finally got smart about it.
Take a CD and sell it. Are you kidding? Get it on iTunes, man.
We are. Going into the studio at the end of the month. We are. And I'm telling you, they're just, you know, they're heavy metal, but they're heavy metal like nobody's heard it before. You know, it's people who hate metal are like, I don't like metal, but I love this. These guys are awesome. and it's beautiful. And it happened by me literally saying, okay, guys, telling my guys, look, if this is meant to happen, would you please do something? Because they're not listening to me as usual. There's the wife in the corner going, wah, wah, wah. That's my reality, you know? And all of a sudden, my husband and I are at the grocery store in the meat section looking at steak. And some guy comes up to us. He sees my husband's tattoo of Animal, the Muppet. And, you know, he starts talking about a show that he's going to do. And he's like, please tell me you're a drummer. I'm looking for a drummer. And I literally looked up in the air and I went, yes. I remember my thumbs up and everything.
Yes.
And I said, yes. And I knew it. I knew it. This guy did not play the kind of music that we were really into. It was crap, to be honest with you. But he did what he was supposed to do. And that was that when my husband got up there on stage and played those drums to that crummy music that he didn't want to play, and the other guy in the band came up and watched him, I saw two things happen. One, tears came to his eyes, and he went, oh, my God, my brother's on stage. And two, he went, oh, my God, my brother needs to be playing something other than that. And he picked up his dang guitar.
Oh, wow.
And here we are. And that's how it happened. And to me, that right there, and there's so many others, are proof that if you put it out there, you can, Jim Carrey said on his video, going on some face, you put it out there, you can get whatever you want if you're willing to do the work, basically.
Wow, nice.
So it is. It's awesome. Yep. We're nuts. We're crazy. We're absolutely crazy. We can't afford to do this, but it's our dream. We're living our dreams, and that's the point. Everybody should live their
dreams. And you raise the vibration. That's, you know, that's part of it, too.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm taking as many people with me as are willing to go.
I have one other. This is going to seem like a really probably redundant question. Or very low vibe or something, but it's like, there's this cat that I had.
We are all there at some time,
And his litter mates, you know, it's like from a bottle. And he literally, he disappeared. He and this other cat that we adopted, they were half Persian black, long-haired males. I just had them both into the, you know, get their shave and a haircut moment. They had little lion cuts. They're really cute, you know, had all their shots, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we went to a bowling tournament over the weekend, and they both disappeared, and haven't seen them since. And I've contacted, well, we've had, like, you know, pet psychics and people, and I'm just kind of like, is this cat going to find his way home to us? Because we've been literally, I'll say, calling him. We've gone down by the river. We've physically called. We've mentally called. We've energetically called. It's like, is he going to come back, or do we have to? I mean, I don't know how to do this. Like, if he doesn't come back before we move, we're going to lose him. Is what I'm concerned of. And he's, I mean,
right.
And all the 9 years that I've, I mean, he would have turned 9 on July 13th. Okay, that was his birthday. You know, and I'm like going, he's never, ever, ever in all history of all of our moves, of all of our everything, he's never run off ever. And I'm just, I don't know whether it's the vibes of this place. It's like, you know, can you get a sense? Is he going to come back to us before we take off, or what do you think?
I want to go with no, he's not going to come back. Did this cat come in as a stray, or did you purchase him
from something? Oh, no, no. His mother died when he was like 10 days old, and we raised him and his litter mates from a bottle.
Okay, okay. Actually,
he was a little furry person. I mean, he's a little furry person, you know, that was what he was.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of healing properties to this cat too. Like, he would ground you, you know, if you were feeling like you were, you know, overly tired or something like that, he'd come and
yeah, he's very energy. Yeah, he was.
Exactly. And I want to say that, that there was somebody else that needed that energy, and that's where he went. It's not I'm leaving you because I don't like you anymore. It's more that he was drawn to help this other person. And I don't see him being that close in proximity to you. I mean, it's literally almost as if this cat left and jumped in the car. And this is what I'm being shown. And I don't know if he actually jumped in a car, but he may have
or in the back
actually.
Truck.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
And went with this person. And he's not suffering. There's nothing wrong with him or anything. It's not that the person's being mean to him. But this person really needs his energy. And I do know that when he transitions, he'll be back to you in spirit form, for sure. Okay. But it's not, he doesn't want you to think that it had anything to do with you or that he got hurt in any way. It's just that he needed to go and do this. It's almost like this is what he was meant to do before he leaves the earth, because I don't see him living for a very long time either, a couple years maybe. Okay. I mean, even though he's a healthy cat, but it's more of his contract, I would say. So okay. He's just living his life contract, basically.
Okay.
I had a cat that did that, too. She literally went and lived with the neighbor and moved with them. She came to say goodbye and everything. And I was like, no, you're our cat.
Oh, wow.
And she just looked at me, you know, and was like, I hope you understand. You know, I was like, okay, fine.
I've got to go over here. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. But that woman really needed her at that time, and I didn't at that time. She served her purpose. She was there when I needed her, and then she moved on when you know, to somebody who did at that time. That was her life purpose. And she literally came to me like that. She jumped in my car.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah, she did. So it's very similar with your cat too. And you know, that person is really going to enjoy, is really enjoying this cat and really going to enjoy this cat and really needs that energy from this animal.
I was going to say, he was specific. We always called him Lover, you know, the Lover, because he was a very loving cat. He would just, like, you know, purr, curl on you. It's like, you know, he was like a little furry person. And it's like, and I do, I miss him. I miss him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And he misses you too. He does.
Yeah.
But you'll find there will be another animal coming to you very similar to him in character and energy. I will say, only this animal, not to say that the cat that you're looking for, it was dumb, because he's not. But this next animal is going to be very quick-witted, very smart.
Okay.
Very affectionate, but very smart. I even want to say sometimes too smart.
That's how I like him, though. I would rather them be little street people. That's awesome. We got a couple callers who called in. It's like, I mean, they were in our chat room, and I just want to at least bring them on here for a moment and say hey, because Maggie, you on? Can you hear us?
Yeah.
I figured I'd bring you on here for a minute just and see if you had any questions or comments for today.
Awesome. Where did they go?
I don't know. Maggie, are you there? You muted yourself. I can't hear you. Sometimes she has trouble with her, not the speakers, the microphone. Her microphone doesn't plug in right or something. It's like, we've done this on Skype calls too. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway. All right. Well, I'm leaving her there. And area code 714. I know you're in here listening too, so it's like, if we can get you on there, if it'll turn on. Oh, they disappeared.
Was it me or you? Can you hear me?
There we go. Now we can hear you.
Who are you talking to, me?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, this is Maggie.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to see if you had
okay.
I know you called and you've been with us here for the archive portion. I just wanted to see if you had a question or comment for Melissa.
No, I was just hanging out. I'm actually playing solitaire while I was listening to you. I had to run over and I grabbed the phone, and when I picked it up, there was nobody there. So,
oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I have a new granddaughter that's born on the 2nd this past Saturday.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
Congratulations. Jack of Diamonds. That's a double Jack of Diamonds. Leo.
Oh, cool. So, does anybody have any input on what's up with her? Any keys or clues?
What day was she born?
She was born on Saturday, August 2nd.
August 2nd.
Born on I actually know somebody. I know a few people born on that day, actually. A few people with those birthdays.
Wow.
Yeah, I always love synchronicity birthdays. They usually mean something. Yes. This is a little girl. This is a little girl,
yeah.
Baby.
Little
yeah,
girl.
Well, actually, she's a big girl. She's like over 10 pounds.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That is a big baby. Yes.
Yeah,
she's going to be a larger than life kind of a young lady too, actually, as she grows up into herself. I see crowns, I see princesses. She's going to be very self-assured in her life. And hopefully all of the adults around her will kind of help her mold that rather than hinder that, which I do see more of a molding. I do see a little bit of a spoiling with this child because it'll just be easy to do. She'll be very, very good at getting what she wants. you know, and just be prepared because if she doesn't get it from mom, she's going to go to grandma.
So do you see a connection between her and I? Because I have not even met her older brother yet either.
I actually do see a connection between her and you, yes. In fact, I literally am shown that when the two of you meet, you will melt, literally. And she's just got this, she'll have this way about her where even when you know she's trying to pull one over on you, you just can't help but let her do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love little Leos.
Yes. And that's exactly how, you know, how she's going to be. And I see her doing it with a smile, too. But, you know, she's going to be a very independent little girl and very loving little girl. And, you know, I do see big things for her actually going up into her adult years, doing big things. I mean, you know, she's not going to just do something. She's going to go all out and do it, you know, in a big way. I mean, the word big is around her a lot, not just in the fact that she was a big baby, but, you know, she won't do anything small. She does it big, basically.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's born during a Mercury, not a Mercury, a Neptune retrograde. And that's kind of a good thing because to me that says that usually those that have a Mercury retrograde in your birth chart are highly intuitive, highly gifted. It's like with Mercury, the retrograde, to me, is like it's opposite all the other retrogrades. It rather than saying you're not as gifted if it's direct, the retrograde actually, it's like it thins the veil between the living and the dead. So she'll be very highly gifted, whether it's mediumship or talking to spirits or psychic abilities or empathy. She'll probably have a little bit of all three.
So do you think that will be the main tie with me?
That wouldn't be the main tie, but it will be one of them. Actually, she actually will have a similar personality to you. I'm literally being shown you laughing and watching the things that she does because they do kind of remind you of yourself at a young age.
Oh, she's perfect.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And literally, you know, I'm seeing you getting a lot, just so much laughter and smiles out of this one. As I see you watching her just twirl around and around and around, you know, she's going to be a very girly girl, but when it comes down to it, she'll put the boot in your butt if you need it, you know.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, she's definitely going to be a very powerful young woman. For sure, but, you know, a very adorable child at the same time. And she'll be very sure of what she wants at a very, very young age.
Excellent. So maybe we can work together.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do see you guys working together for sure. You will be a very important part of her growth. So don't worry about that not happening. You will be there for it.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. I really felt that heart-wise.
Awesome. Thank
that.
You.
Thank you so much. Awesome show, Kelly.
All right. Thank you, Maggie. I knew there was that burning question for you, so it's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Thank you. Okay, well, I'll talk with you guys soon. Bye-bye.
All righty. Sounds good. Thanks. Okay. Golly. I'm sitting here
awesome
thinking.
Blossom.
Yeah, it is awesome, Blossom, Possum. I'm thinking I kind of want to do a little exchange with you because you know because I was sitting here going through this you know when Ron was going through your chart reading and as long as I got you here if you got a few minutes here
I do yeah
I'll tell you a little bit about the blessed card here it sits in the very center of the life spread
and it is protected on all sides by Jupiter's blessings, and it is the card of material opulence, although it does say few of you guys actually achieve that reality. However, all the Ten of Diamonds people are protected financially, and you will always have a certain amount of good luck. To achieve your highest potential, you need to be involved in a business, preferably your own. You have the know-how to manage, yeah, I know, to manage
awesome.
And run a business of any size. And, you know, many of you either inherit or marry into wealth. You love to be the center of attention, which is in direct correlation to the card sitting in the very center of the life spread. And with so many blessings, you know, it gives you the good side and the bad side. So that was a good side here. So just be prepared, you know.
it's always a bad
side. Generous souls, but it's not always the case. You know, a lot of the people, a lot of the Ten of Diamonds direct the blessings to the acquisition of more money. Now this would be the low side. Some become ruthless in their regard, but others pay attention to you've got this Queen of Clubs karma card, and that's the card of intuition and service through knowledge, and devote your talents and resources to helping the world. And I would say that is probably where you are. All tens are in danger of becoming overly fixated on the accumulation of the things related to their suit. Of course, and you know, there's four, you know, suits in the deck there. So with the Ten of Diamonds, it does manifest as money. But you know, with you got creativity, intelligence, you're always successful in whatever you undertake. And this is like, you know, what you're saying is like, you know, whatever you want to achieve something, it's just kind of there. You know, it is.
Right.
And
right.
Usually that power is directed toward business and financial gain. And literally, again, there's no size of business or financial enterprise you can't handle. So, you know, you guys could very, very easily and gracefully handle being a extremely successful band. Okay. Just saying.
Awesome. Well, I would be a band and my own business because I stand on my own, and then they stand on their own too. So it's kind of
nice.
There's two.
Joy, yeah, double income. That makes nice, yeah. And then the if is like, which I'm going to say, and you've already done this, you know, in developing your spiritual awareness, your later years are going to be filled with expansion of your mind and soul instead of doubt and indecision. You may find an artistic avenue of expression in your later years, which might also bring reward. So whether you decide to go in and be Betty Crocker cake decorating or, you know, going to have some kind of artistic moment in it. And I say artisticness comes in anything. I have seen artistic rock layers, okay? You know, there is art and beauty to be found in any career that you have or in anything that you mm-hmm. do. So it's like when you follow that bent with doing that, it's like you will have something that is a product that's sellable, you know, like,
right.
Oh, God. Craft fairs. Okay, that was funny. Thanks, guys.
Yes,
anyway,
I've been told I'm going to write, and I just need to start doing it. But yes, I am very creative with words. Words are my thing.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. With relationships, and I did catch what your husband was, but I would like to look him up here in a minute. But the Ten of Diamonds has a strong desire for love and relationships, and you've also got karma from past lives that you have to have discharged.
Yes.
It does mention one or more difficult, either, you know, if it's not a divorce and it's a separation, something like that.
Yes.
But the
yes.
karma you bring into this life is that of having been the one who left another unfairly and unlovingly in the past life, so it's like you had to have that. Balance, okay. In
yes,
this life,
that happened, yeah.
Okay, the same treatment from another, often the same person that you were with before. So that's where the scales balance. You want love, and you're usually the ones who initiate a new relationship. Your own emotional restless nature must be dealt with before you can have a successful marriage, which you did that already, okay?
Yeah.
You often find yourself in situations where you need to sacrifice your own need for affection for higher reasons or to help others in need. And really, you're learning to love yourself and the child within. Finding that relationship within brings you a lot more fortune in other relationships as well.
Right.
In your case, a female Ten of Diamonds should not let relationships become before your work and career, except in a very few cases where there's great compatibility. There always
yeah.
seems to be great burdens associated with romance and marriage because you've got a Five of Hearts and your Saturn. And then the fact that the personality card for the female side, each of the cards, let's see how I put this, you know, if you're female in whatever suit you're in, the queen is always going to be your personality card. So you've got, and they do call it the notorious Queen of Diamonds, which has, yes, has a lot of romantic indecision, and it makes it, And in fact, there's some of the writings that say, well, for the card system I use, it says the Queen of Diamonds is the most unmarriageable card in the deck. And I'm like, going, that's not good. But at least it's only a personality card, so this is a good thing.
But it's true.
But when
it is true.
Good.
Yeah, no, it is true because I've been in this relationship for 19 years. We have broken up a couple of times and or lived in separate places a couple of times and come back together. But whenever we go through hard issues, which isn't very often, my first thought is always, I'm done and I want to leave. I'd rather be alone than have to deal with this crap. So that's absolutely true, you know, and then I have to talk myself through it and go, when am I going to stop going there, you know, and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm kind of like a dude when it comes to that. I don't want to deal with this. I want to
bolts. Now, curiosity. So, what is your other half? So, what's his month and day?
Funny you mentioned balance. He's a Libra. He is 9/26.
9/26. So September of the 26th. Oh wow. Okay. So he's a Jack of Hearts.
Oh.
And a nine of spades. Jack of Hearts and a nine of spades. Well, let's see how that gets on here, because have this little comparison chart moment.
So I've got diamonds and clubs, and he's got hearts and spades.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
Let's see. So how do you get on with, okay, so your very first, okay, and this is looking at it from your direction and how you see it, the first, well, I'll say it's called a karmic connections.
Right.
Your very first one is Venus, and then the next one is Jupiter, which is, you know, of course, Venus is that self-explanatory planet of love, you know, very loving connection there. Jupiter, you guys together do very well together. The third one is Pluto, and this is where you're getting that, you know, I'm done moment, because Pluto is about power, and it's like Mars raised to an octave. It's like where Mars is, you know, can sometimes be the angry stuff. Pluto is about power, and it's about power and control. But your fourth and fifth ones are Venus in the spiritual. So this is like a past love that's come forward. And so, you know, so you guys is, you know, you're here definitely to, you know, complete this contract. But your, you know, your overall attraction, and this is, it's a, I'll say it's a 20-point scale. It's like it goes 10 above and 10 below. If you think of like a thermometer, you know, then zero is the balance there. So your attraction to him is a 5, which is really, really high, okay?
Yeah, I'm telling you, after 19 years, he's still the hottest man in the world. I mean, seriously.
Awesome. See, that is way awesome.
Yeah.
Your intensity is a -1, which -1 is really good because it means you very rarely have, you know, those out and out, you know, flaming whatever. So it's like most of the time you guys just, you know, flow along in balance. You really do. And your overall compatibility together is a 6. So it's like, you know, and that's uber high. And I will say, you know, for my person who was, you know, my heartthrob, who was, you know, my soulmate and everything else, our overall cards, we were only a 2-0-2, and I went, wow. It's like if we had been any more attractive, we would probably, you know, attracted to each other, we probably would have burst into flames. So it's like...
Right?
With higher
numbers. Stay in bed forever. I have a question. Now, I have a twin flame, which is not my husband, and he has been karmically... a problem in the relationship. All three of us have had misconceptions about our relationships in past lives. Could you bring that in with both of the other ones, or would you have to do one or the other? I mean, would you be able to look at three people at once, I guess, is what I'm asking?
It would be a comparison between the three. So what's, you know, the biggest thing is what's, you know, this person's birthday?
We have a twin flame. You should know his birthday. No, I'm just kidding. It's 11/21. I actually met them both around the same time, and it was very confusing because, you know, the attraction to a twin flame and a soulmate is two completely different things.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And what's really ironic is you did say 11/21, right?
11/21, yes.
Yeah. That person, the 11/21, is a Queen of Hearts. And they have a King of Spades and a 5 of Clubs as their planetary ruler. So you went up a notch in the royal house there.
Right.
Wow, that's got to be interesting. Oh my goodness.
It's kind of weird. I sort of feel like my husband is the balance between the two flames, if that makes sense.
Okay. keep you from. Now this, I was going to say, now this is interesting because the connection with this person, with the Queen of Hearts person, and it's like, that's really interesting in itself because the Queen of Hearts is the marriage card, you know, in the deck. And queens tend to be very nurturing, so I'm going to guess that's like that he's really got probably a lot of qualities that are very, very supportive.
Yes, he is. And, you know, he's actually, he's more the, astrologically, the feminine energy, and I'm more the masculine.
Right. That makes
kind of weird.
A lot of sense.
Yeah.
You guys, well, no, you guys, and with that connection, you guys are Mars in the mutual. It's like you've got the very first connection is Mars. So, and then your next one is Jupiter in the spiritual. And then the third one is a Mars. And then the fourth one is a Venus in the spiritual. And then the last one is Uranus. Now, what's ironic there is the attraction, okay, as you see it, the attraction is a 6, but the intensity is a 3. There's more conflict there. And the compatibility overall is actually lower than what's with your husband. It's like it's a 3. So,
right. Yeah,
that would be... That would be a little more problematical, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And let's see now.
It was confusing for a long time, so it was very problematical. Not so much anymore.
I'm gonna say, well, here's here's with your Jack of Hearts person is that sacrifice through love. It's one of the 3 fixed cards, and the Jack of Hearts is very strong about their version of love. They're surrounded by the Christ spirit of sacrifice, and you know, through love, even though they're a Jack.
Yeah.
They're sometimes immature and crafty, but the heart is influenced by the wisdom of the Christ spirit, which gives them higher guidance and higher motives in general. But again, you know, for Jacks, they need to watch out. Their martyrdom does not get out of
hand. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
They can also become escapists and misguided, but that's kind of the exception rather than the rule. The love
called
is
the Libra box.
Love is their power and birthright. They've come to love others and to show them by way of their example. And it is. This one is also, it's a lot of times it's called the Christ card because that's the kind of sacrifice they make for people in their life. That's
right.
Why they can
get
that martyr.
He does. Yeah, it drives me insane. I was like, do something for you for once. Stop.
But he knows how to love with the big-heartedness of a king. And once he decides that he decides that his is the mission of love, they take on that yoke of responsibility very admirably. They often make sacrifices for life. Their personal fulfillment may be given up for some higher cause or philosophy. As born leaders, they must be successful in their own profession. And they're very fixed and very guided by a strong sense of justice. Duty. They can be pissed on for following through on promises unless they get caught up in the lower side of the crafty Jack, which it doesn't sound like he's done that a lot. They all carry that Christ spirit within them, and everybody that they associate with is in some way uplifted by their presence. They find
oh my gosh, yes, they're drawn to him. It's like his charm. They call it the Libra charm. Yeah,
I believe it. Now, he's going
to
find his greatest fulfillment on a spiritual path or by bringing the higher energies to work and their lives. And then in relationships, just because they're the spiritual card does not mean they don't exhibit, you know, any of the Jack characteristics. They can get caught up in, you know, the youthful, playful, you know, either playboy or playgirl aspects of the card. You know, they can be tempted into affairs, romantic encounters, blah, 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 because they're the most romantic card in the deck, okay, which is great when they're married. But the sacrificial need of that can work for good or bad in all relationships, depending upon the person. They've got power and strength in their love natures, but a certain degree of immaturity may prove to be their undoing at times. They're usually devoted to higher ideals and love, and they've got their own philosophy about it that nobody's going to change. They'll make sacrifices for you if they love you, and you may be part of their plan to save the world, okay? But at the same time, they can use that savior complex to do silly things in love, like, you know, if you're his first person or whatever, but he might have chosen a mate that's unworthy or broken in order to see their love heal somebody, and that could have, you know, resulted in a, like, victim savior or codependent relationships. But
it did start out like that. It did,
After a few losses in love, though, the Jack of Hearts becomes sensitized to the pain that love can cause and becomes an understanding and loving mate. When they're devoted to a higher purpose, which many of them are, they're the most devoted, trustworthy companions in the deck, and they exemplify the love that's fixed and unwavering and ready to make sacrifices on behalf of their loved ones if need be. So,
I find it's very fascinating. I have to tell you now, but it's very fascinating that one is the Jack of Hearts and one is the Queen of Hearts, and the reason behind that is... They are brothers.
Behind this is the Queen of Hearts is also called the Loving Mother card, and this is really funny. Because this is like kind of like the Mary card. So it's like, you know, in the Jack we have the Christ card, and in the Queen we have another Mary card.
Yes, exactly.
And what's really funny is karmically, you know, these people, you know, cards that are next to each other like this, the Queen of Hearts is going to be the leader in that Queen and Jack relationship, okay? Unless, if and only if, you know, the Jacks can rise up to a, you know, to become a king, you know, from, and there's a song, you know, from a Jack to a king, you know, literally. And it's exemplified that like that. But usually the two cards that are together like that, side by side, it's like they usually get along very well. It's like because they are moon placement cards, and it's like that's usually a pairing that is, if you find it in a male and female, you know, a husband or wife, it's like they're there for life. It's like that's, you know, unless something really extreme happens, when you find two cards together like that, they are in there for the long haul. So if these two guys
right.
all like each other or whatever, they, you know, they could be the best of friends on some level. I don't know.
They actually, they're brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this
wow.
one makes it really interesting is that they are brothers. And you know, I met the David first, knew it was a soulmate connection from the beginning, and then met his brother, and it was like time literally stopped and we went to a different plane for hours when it was literally our eyes met for seconds. And so it was always very confusing, but this is at least of I know of the third life that we've come in where they have been brothers and I've been the female in the middle. And I have gone back and forth between them. And this life is starting out where we're supposed to be and keeping it that way. Basically,
wow.
And understanding.
Because they ever
feel
like the middle of the Oreo cookie, you know?
Well, we all take turns actually being the middle of the Oreo cookie because our relationship now, they make, you know, I always refer to them as, you know, you guys could teach people how to be brothers because they are like best friends. And the three of us together balance each other out. So when one is going through something, the other two always come in on either side. And
that's nice.
And we all take turns doing that. But at the same time, my twin and I are very opposite each other, and we love each other. He's my best friend and my brother and my father and my son and everything but a lover to me in the world. And I know that's not in the cards for this life. And as long as we know that, we're okay. But,
right.
you know, at this, he sort of comes in between us to balance out the fact that he is more emotional and I'm more masculine. And at the same time, he's more emotional and my husband's more masculine. And I've always looked at them as if you put both of them together, they'd like almost be perfect, the perfect man, you know, because each has
wow.
that other balance. So for him to come through as the Queen of Hearts and for my husband to come through as the Jack, it's just brilliant. You know, I'm laughing over here because I've spent 19 years trying to figure out this relationship, and you did it in like 5 minutes.
It's all in the cards. It really is.
It is.
For good reason, they're called the Atlantean cards. I mean, there's a history. There's a history behind that too. It's like when you look at these, our quote poker deck was actually developed for this planet during the Atlantean times. I mean, you look at the numbers and the, you know, the sequences and all that stuff. It's like, you know, if you do the counting of how many cards are in the deck, okay, there's 52 weeks in a year. There's, you know, five and two is seven days in a week. There's like, you
four
know, the
elements.
Four seasons. Yeah, the four seasons. And then, you know, and the hearts are represented by, you know, they're like the young people of the deck. They're, you know, they represent the youth. Then there's the, and these two, and I'm sure they are. It's like, even though, you know, how you said, you know, he kind of have this baby face, hearts people always kind of have that youthfulness about
they
them.
They both
the way
do. Yeah. And you know, I look at both of them so much as children because we were all kids, you know, we've grown up together, basically. We were, you know, about to turn adults, but we were still kids in my mind, and we raised each other. So I always look at them as my, you know, my first boys. They were my first boys, the two of them.
That's kind of cool.
You know?
See, because diamonds, okay, clubs are the scholars of the deck that represents the school years. Diamonds are the adults of the deck, and diamond children even as children, they hate being told what to do. They can't wait to grow up until their chronology fits their body.
It's yes.
Like, I have two diamond children. I'm going, it was
yes.
like raised to adults. I'm like going, oh, my God, I'm so glad they finally grew into their bodies, you know?
Exactly. And I want to add, too, I'm willing to bet heaps of responsibility placed on some of these children also that didn't need to be their responsibility.
Yeah, they're very well. The diamonds are very golly. They've got just like a diamond. They've got a really good shield. They've got a really flinty surface. You know, they've got a heart there somewhere.
Yeah,
but there's always
it's there. Yeah, it's hidden, but
it's
there.
It's like, no, but when you're married to a diamond, it's like you've got a price on your head because they always evaluate you in the terms of kind of a full hard cash. And I'm going. It's hilarious because I look at my oldest son is an ace of diamonds, okay, but he's a Gemini. Yeah, we won't go there right now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then there's my daughter who's power card. She's an eight of diamonds, and she picked a three of diamond mate. And it's like, believe me, these two kids, I mean, she's only 25, okay? My older son is like 30. And then there's my son who's the younger one, I think of him as the, I shouldn't say the Neanderthal, club-dragging, knuckle-dragging, whatever, but he's a club. And by golly, he's a Leo club. He clubs people. And then there's my last two, which is spades. The spades are the old people of the deck. And I have one little magician who's the ace of spades, who that was the one that, he was attuned, well, I was attuned not to Reiki. I'd already been a Reiki master. I was attuned to Arch, which is like ancient rainbow complete or conscious healing. And he came out a little Arch master. And it was, he's 12 now. It's
wow.
Very interesting. And then my other one, my 14-year-old, is a four of spades, which complements my five of spades. So it's like at least I get to be the leader in the group, which is nice. Yeah. Lots of different
ones. Oh, wow. And it gets even better and better when you start doing the whole family. I noticed that with charts, and one of the things about these two hearts, you know, they're wonderful, but they have tempers like, oh, my God, you would not believe. And I have two children from my husband also, and when I brought up all of their charts, and my twin has a child also, with the exception of my youngest child, the only exception to this rule. Each of them all have moons in fire signs.
Oh, wow.
Okay, my husband's is in Aries, my twin's is in Sagittarius, and his son's is also in Sagittarius, and my son's is in Leo. And I was just like,
whoa.
I mean, literally, all I could do was literally sit there as all four of them are up there, stare at them, and then throw my head back and laugh. It all just made sense at that moment, you know. My husband's temper tantrums and outbursts and everything, it just, you know, it leads up and then pow, there it is, you know. And, you know,
wow.
It's karmically, you know, you can see by using all these tools and such, you know, how people karmically come in, you know, and
right.
and do things with you and, you know, they're there with you for a reason. And that particular
right.
son of mine is, I wouldn't say the most gifted of my children, but he's definitely shown the most progress in his gifts, I think.
Yeah.
And a Virgo with a Leo moon, you know, that explains itself.
Oh, wow.
We won't go
Virgo? What's the month? September?
No, August. August 30th.
August 30th. Oh.
August 30th, yes. He's going to be 18
nine
at the end of this month.
There's a nine of hearts person right there.
Oh, my gosh. See?
Let's see, that's awesome. Nine of hearts.
They're all the same name. That's the best part. They're all from the same family. They're all Bruces. This is wonderful.
But that's what the hearts people come to work on is their love issues and relationships. So it's like, that's where they're at. You know, they're the quote youngest in the deck, but it's like, they are people who have come in to work on their relationships. And it's like, that does not surprise me with the fiery temper, but it's like, you know, it's like the outburst. It's like the, you know, the scales, the Mount Everest to the Marianas Trench is what I call them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Boom. It's like,
he's in opposition with himself.
Match. It's like, we have a Duncan, you know, is this the Duncan Yo-Yo tournament today?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, that was the other interesting thing. He is in opposition with himself, with the sun-moon opposition in Libra and Aries. My husband, that is. and my son with the Leo moon, the Virgo with the Leo moon, you know, he keeps it more to himself. The outbursts are very few and far between, but it's always about what he feels. And at the same time, he gets more angry with what other people are doing to other people than what they do to him, which
wow.
is a really good thing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very self-centered and then not at the same time, which is kind of it's kind of bizarre. It's like he uses his
yeah.
self-centeredness in a better way, you know, in a way to help others.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe we talked so long. Blog Talk is about to kick us off the air. They only give us an extra an hour of overtime, so...
Well, thank you so much.
We're almost
I appreciate
there.
The reading. That was awesome. I hope that it recorded the overtime also. I can go
oh,
back
yes.
and listen to the
yeah.
whole thing.
Yay. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
It does.